about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Log of the Starship Enterprise, stardate 5943.7.
Captain Kirk, this is Lieutenant Uhura. Mr. Spock is ready to patch in. Go ahead, Mr. Spock.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
What is your secret in staying young?
My secret in staying young? Well, I got 3 words. Boom-tang.
Kevin. Do you remember where you were when I found you?
Yeah, sure. I was in an improv comedy troupe.
That's right. And when I saw your first show, do you know what I thought to myself, Kevin?
I thought to myself,
I've done it. I have found the least funny person on the entire planet.
And now,
go Dodgers and fire beer mug.
Our feature presentation,
right?
Oh, that sounded like his mom.
That was his mom.
But she said...
Yeah, that was his mom. Yeah, that's a universal human emotion is go Dodgers and fire beer mug.
Wow.
It is odd to have your own mom turn on you on the air.
Really?
That's sort of rough. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 4th of October.
Not going to lie, I was a little bit disappointed to wake up this morning and see that on 10-4, which has previously been known as CB Radio Day, very little chatter about the CB radio on my computer today. I feel like that one may be fading. That one may be dying out.
Bean is obsessed with every day being something.
Well, it is. It's 10-4. Today's 10-4.
Right.
Used to be a thing.
Not really.
It's not really a thing anymore, apparently.
It was sort of a thing then.
Yeah. So
not really now.
So no CB comedy today. I got all my, you know.
Thanks a lot for that info. Have a good truck and trip.
Got all those ready to go. Probably won't be using many of those.
Hope not.
I thought it was, you know, something I was really looking forward to.
Thanks, good buddy. I'll keep my ears on.
So apparently we're not doing that. Hey, I got a question. Speaking of being out on the road, if you had your choice, I think I know how you guys would vote on this. You have to drive across country with either a dog, a 9-year-old, or a 90-year-old.
Dog all day. Dog, dog, dog.
Yeah, I'm dog too. How about you, Kevin?
9.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
What's that?
9 years old.
What's that? I gotta pee.
Come on, that's not 9.
Really?
No, I'd say 9-year-old.
Oh. Are 9-year-olds fun?
I'm hesitant to say I like kids because then somebody will take that out of, you know, context and maybe play it.
Point.
You don't want any tape of you saying how much you enjoy spending time with little children?
I just said, you know, I think 9, yeah.
Really? All right,
how about 90 last?
Really?
See, 90 would be second for me.
Yeah, I'm team dog, and then 90, and then like 100 spots behind that is 9.
You don't know enough 90-year-olds.
I love 90-year-olds. I love them. And you know what I like even better than 90-year-olds? 91-year-olds. And then you know what's after that? Right. Couple of stories involving wonderful old people in the news. First, kind of a sad update. I'm sure you've seen by now, but Miss Norma, who we talked about some time back, Allie, you know the one I'm talking about, the lady who was diagnosed with stage 4 uterine cancer, and rather than go through the treatment at age 90, she said, you know what, I'm hitting the road with my family instead. And she did a cross-country trip with her, if I remember correctly, it was her son.
And daughter-in-law, and yeah.
Yeah, and they just rented an RV, and she went to all the places she always wanted to go. She went to the Grand Canyon, and she went on a hot air balloon ride, and she went whale watching, and she just had the greatest last 9 months of her life. Well, she did pass away last Friday at 91, but what a way to go, right?
Aww.
It was a beautiful story. It was very inspirational, but I am sorry to have to bring you that that update. But here's my new favorite old person. She's in St. Louis. Her name is Edie Sims. She is 102 years old, and she is something else. She does
prostitute?
Nope. She does live in an assisted living facility, and she believes very much in community service. She spends a lot of her time visiting sick people in the hospital. She says, keep going. Don't ever stop what you're doing.
Angel of death?
Spend time doing community service. Sometimes the person you reach out and touch is the only person they will talk to that day, she said.
She wanted me to put a pillow over her face.
She spends a lot of her other time sewing and stitching handmade items for the folks at senior centers in the area. Last year, she made over 400 handmade items. She made blankets and pillows and shawls and scarves just to hand out to people.
What?
Not a noose. What? Why are you trying to make this ugly? She was born 102 years ago on September 25th. She said, you can tell what my folks were doing on Christmas. They were making babies. So she still got it, right? Still bringing the comedy. And the reason she's in the news is because she had a bucket list. And one of the items on her bucket list was just fulfilled this week. She always wanted, you're not going to believe this, but she always wanted to be arrested.
What?
She's 102.
What kind of bucket list is that?
And had never been arrested. So it was arranged with the St. Louis Police Department that they came to the old folks' home, to the senior center where she lives.
What?
And they put handcuffs on her and put her in the back of the car and they took her downtown.
Is this a white lady?
Yes.
Great question.
That is white privilege.
That's a great
just
question.
The definition. Good Lord.
There's no bucket list like that for a black person, right? That's crazy.
This took a turn.
And by the way, there's no crime in St. Louis. What are they doing?
Well, they thought it would be fun and nice. They were happy to help her out. She said, we loved helping her. We got more out of it than she did. And they gave her a little cake and they took pictures with her and they gave her a St. Louis Police Department t-shirt and a hat. And I just think that's an adorable story. You should see her being led out of the car in handcuffs at the police station. She's 102.
Wow.
So that's Edie Sims.
What a weird bucket list thing.
That's an odd item.
It's just nonsense.
Yeah, you would expect, ride a Ferris wheel or something like that. But no, she wanted to be arrested. So.
Wow.
So there you go. So happy 102nd, Edie Sims. I hope there are many more, and I hope one day we get to go cross country.
Are you excited for your party?
Not one bit.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
10-4, Silver Midget.
Nope.
I've been looking forward to meeting you. I've been hearing you're some foxy lady.
Nope.
Don't laugh. That's so creepy.
Oh, he loves it. He loves it.
It's so creepy.
He loves everything CB. Oh. Those of you that have no idea what that is, which is most of you, CB radios used to be like in trucks and they could have conversations back and forth, but you always had to use the language.
Yeah.
So instead of saying, okay, you had to say 10-4, mm-hmm. they would 10-4. Get mad at you.
Yeah.
They'd get mad at you.
Yeah, this was how you communicated car to car before cell phones.
Right.
And it's a very great, it was a great technology.
It was not good.
For its time.
Really. Much at all. On the program today, we have Keith Stanfield from the show Atlanta.
Come on.
So excited.
Plays Darius on that show. So good.
Kevin, you finally started watching Atlanta?
I did. I caught up.
Have we lied or is it one of the best shows you've seen?
It is great.
It's so great.
Yeah. Very excited about
it. And he's amazing on it.
Yeah, he is. Greg Fitzsimmons, one of our friends that is a comedian, will be in studio. We have the King of Mexico's DVR habits. This is weird. We all sort of watch TV shows in a pretty much the same way.
Yeah, standard fashion.
Except for Dave, who will let 20, 25, 30 shows build up on his DVR.
So weird.
And then the way he gets through them is super weird. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the elevated earthquake warning that has been in effect. I think it runs out today, right?
I think, today's our last day on Earth.
Well, you better get your We're All Gonna Die Tonight drop.
I don't think it's our last day on Earth. I think this is the day when the warning goes back to normal.
No, today's the day the big one hits, then the Rock has to come in a helicopter. We're like, ah!
Okay, all right. Yeah. I guess that's what happens.
Yeah.
They're opening a bar in Southern California only for beautiful people. That seems like a great idea.
I'll let you know how it is, suckers.
You do good work.
I cannot.
You see that? You see how white people do?
Right. And what's up with Florida?
What is up with Florida?
On today's Kevin and Beat Show as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
Coming up this morning, we have 4 packs of Disneyland Resort Park Hopper passes. Plus, you can be at K-Rock's private party at the Twilight Zone Towel. It's really a tower. Really more of a tower.
The towel of terror.
Yeah.
Oh, I got out of the shower once, and there it was, hanging on a hook. It's got bacon strips.
We're all going to die tonight.
Apparently that's now an attraction at Disneyland, so that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, the towel of terror.
Details at KROQ.com. Your chance to win is coming up. That's the voice of Ralph Garman. It's time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
You know what? FCB Day, right?
Right.
10-4.
I'm with that.
F it right in the antenna.
All right. What do you got that's better?
Today is Vodka Day.
Oh! Yeah. Wow.
No comparison.
It's tough to measure how much better that is.
There is no instrument in existence that can measure the difference in how good it is. So happy Vodka Day, everybody. You have any idea what the best-selling vodka is in the world?
Smirnoff.
That's true.
Is it?
Really? That's the only vodka name I know.
That's how we should have known. If Bean knew what it was, then you know it's popular, right? Yeah, apparently.
Or he read it this morning.
Oh, that's right.
Well, I didn't even know it was National Vodka Day.
What was I thinking? Of course. Yeah, ranked by sales, Smirnoff is number one. Then, come on, Kevin, you're a vodka drinker.
Belvedere.
Good guess, but that's sort of a niche brand.
Oh, is it?
It's not sort of a...
That's the one I get.
That's a good one. Don't get me wrong. It's real good. But it's not exactly a big, widespread...
Grey Goose.
What?
Oh, is that your guess?
I would say it's mine. That's what I like. Okay. But I think something more like an Absolut is cheaper. So maybe that's...
Absolut was second.
Nice.
Oh. Thank you.
But she also guessed two things, which is sort of bogus.
Sky.
Is Grey Goose on the list, Ralph?
Grey Goose is 10th.
Hey.
Sky is 9th.
Is Cristal a vodka?
What?
Cristal is champagne.
No. Champagne. Oh, it's champagne. I didn't know.
Tito's.
What about beers?
There's no other name on this list that you'll recognize.
Okay.
Except maybe Svedka. Svedka is a Swedish vodka. That's 6th. But the others are Kortsyevtsa.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Ukrainian. Klebnidar.
Sure.
Wow.
Zubravka.
It's a UFC fighter, isn't it?
Pyatozier. Krupnik.
No. Nope.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, where are they drinking vodka, Kevin?
Russia.
Right, and other places like it. Right?
Right.
Poland and whatnot. So, those are your vodkas. Happy vodka to everybody. Start now.
Thank you, Rodney.
Take some to work. Put it in a to-go cup. Mm-hmm. Like one of those carry-all coffee cups, you know, one of those good plastic ones.
Mm-hmm.
And just drink it at work all day. And it's vodka. They won't even smell it on you.
What could go wrong with that plan?
Nothing. It will only make your day better. I promise you.
Correct.
Vodka.
And tell that fat, bald bastard of a boss of yours exactly what you think about him around 2 in the afternoon.
Because that won't hurt your career either.
He'll appreciate your honesty.
That's right.
Oh.
You don't know, man. This is a bad idea. Don't do this. They're remaking Suspiria.
I don't know what that is.
Well, if you did, you'd be furious.
Suspiria?
Suspiria. Suspiria is a classic cult horror film from the 1970s about a young ballet dancer who goes to a ballet academy.
Mm-hmm.
And she soon discovers there is some badass, creepy, supernatural S going down there.
You are all going to die tonight.
You're goddamn right they are. And it's a classic. And they're going to remake it now with Dakota Johnson. Ugh. Chloe Moretz, Tilda Swinton, and Mia Goth apparently will all be in it. This is going to set some people off. Horror fans, I think even more than sci-fi fans, are like super territorial when it comes to their classic films. So I think a lot of people are going to be upset by this news.
But isn't this the kind of movie that is often remade because the original was a long time ago and is not widely known?
Then re-release that film.
Well.
Because it's that good. And people should see it. And there's no way that the remake will compare.
All right.
So do that. Get on that, Kevin.
Okay.
Would you please talk to some people?
Yeah.
Sci-Fi Network has cast an unknown to play Superman's grandfather on their upcoming show, Krypton. For those of you who haven't heard about this, Sci-Fi is doing a show called Krypton, which takes place 2 generations before Superman was sent to Earth in a rocket because of the destruction of his home planet. It's going to be about Superman's grandfather, and that's going to be very exciting. It's a lot of people just walking around in long cloaks saying, "Someday this planet might explode." Meanwhile, pass me the potatoes. And it's going to be a lot of stuff because they don't have any superpowers on Krypton. They're just regular people.
That sounds good. That sounds like a good show.
So they're just going to be walking around talking about stuff.
Like it.
Think Gotham, but for Superman, but without the excitement. Anyway, Cameron Cuff will play Seg-El. Seg-El of the House of El, of course, Superman's grandfather.
Sure.
And he will be on that show, and that will be happening on that show.
Which you will or will not be watching.
Well, I will watch the first one. Okay. And then I will say,
give it a shot.
This is all I thought it would be. Today's celebrity birthdays. Susan Sarandon, 70 years old today. Christoph Waltz celebrates his 60th birthday. Leah Schreiber celebrates his 49th. Rachel Lee Cook is 37 years old. Alicia Silverstone is 40. Speaking of the House of L, Melissa Benoist.
All right.
Supergirl herself celebrates her 27th birthday. And Dakota Johnson, we were just talking about her being in a completely unnecessary remake. She's 27 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
On behalf of the whole show, welcome back, Married Man Beer Mug.
Thank you.
Hey, Mugs. How was your one-day honeymoon?
Quick.
You got married on Saturday. You're already back to work. It's Tuesday.
Yep.
That's not how that's supposed to work.
Got to pay the bills.
That's true. Well, this is Bean speaking. Of course, I wasn't at the wedding, but I have heard nothing but raves from everybody who was there, who just said it was a beautiful venue, it was a beautiful evening. You guys were a lovely couple, and everybody had a wonderful time. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I think everybody had a good time.
And you wrote your own vows.
Yeah. Oh.
And pulled it off. Good surprise. Delivery. Yeah. Well done. Well delivered.
Thank you.
I was so nervous at that point. I was like, oh, no, this is where the wheels come off.
You were nervous.
What was it? I'm curious, Muggs. What was it in your history or background or experience that led you to think that you could pull off your own vows?
Well, it's funny because a week up until the wedding, we were going to do the generic ones.
Uh-huh.
And then Nicole's like, you know what? I want us to write our own. I was like, oh my god!
So that is the rule. If she's writing it, you have to write it.
I mean, yeah.
Now you don't have a choice.
No, I don't have a choice. So I just sat down over a couple beers, maybe a little medical marijuana, try to get in touch with myself.
Mm-hmm. Oh dear!
So you're naked. Go ahead.
And I just let the heart spill out onto the pad. You know what I mean? Is that a saying?
It's not really.
I just made it.
Nor is it something you can do. But you pulled it off.
It was beautiful.
It was a really nice speech. I was very happy for you.
Thank you. I'm glad it went well.
Is it true that you were almost the last person at your reception? Like, after everybody, including the bride, had gone home, you were still back behind cleaning up?
That is very true. Somehow,
That's not how it's supposed to work.
I know. Somehow.
Don't couples leave the wedding together, and then everybody sort of gathers around and
throws the rice?
Throws the rice, whatever, yeah.
Right.
So the night's ending, and Nicole, I see her, like, leaving with, like, four people. I'm like, hey, Nicole, where are you going? She's like, bye! And I'm like, what? And then cut to me having to be the cleanup coordinator of all this stuff.
What?
Yes!
Hold on. Where was she going? Out with some friends?
Yeah, she had reserved this spot at this bar for everybody who wanted to come after, you know, because the wedding ended at 11. So we got the spot at a bar right by our hotel, and she was going to bring everybody over there. I was supposed to go over there.
Uh-huh.
But she leaves. I'm stuck there with the cleanup duties. She left her cell phone, my kid's pack and play, my kid's crib, everything.
Your kid? Did you find your kid?
Okay, so it gets better. So okay. I'm having to clean up all these centerpieces and trying to find out what she wants. Because she bought it, most of it. She bought
it.
So I had to bring it back into her mom and dad's car. And I get a call from her sister. She's at our apartment. And she doesn't have the deadbolt key. She only has the bottom key, and it's deadbolted.
Okay.
So now my daughter and her sister are locked out of the apartment with the baby, and I'm 25 miles away, still at the venue, trying to clean up this place. So I had to call a locksmith for $170 to come and drill the deadbolt. And, that's my wedding night.
Can I just say, that wasn't your wedding night. Welcome to your marriage.
Oh, my God. I want out, if that's
the
case.
Welcome to married life for you.
I want out, if that's the case.
I don't think I have ever heard of a bride leaving to go party with guests and leave her new husband of 2 hours behind to clean up.
Yep, that was it.
That's unbelievable.
But we're not saying that happens rarely. We're saying none of us have ever heard of this.
No. Ever.
Well, there's a first for everything, guys.
Now, I heard your speech was a 10, Muggs. What about
For Muggs, it was a 11.
It was, like a 20.
Because usually Muggs' top is about a 4.
It was succinct. There was a beginning, a middle, and a nice wrap-up at the end.
Oh, the ending was perfection.
It's like you're not the same guy we've been sending out on the red carpets all these years. But what about your best man speech? Because I will be honest. Again, I wasn't there, but I have heard mixed reactions to that speech.
Mixed?
Wow. No, you'd heard no mixed reaction.
Who? What's his name?
Ryan.
Ryan.
My good buddy Ryan.
His good buddy Ryan. He got up and he started giving a speech, and I swear to God, it was 3 hours.
It was a minute.
I mean, it went on and on and on, and it wasn't cohesive.
At least it was funny.
It was the it was the opposite of funny.
Yes, it was.
At least it had every embarrassing moment from my teenage years in the speech.
Well, that was nice of him to bring up that all of his friends, including him, thought you were gay.
Yeah.
That was nice. And then you started dating a person named Corey. So they're like, all right, well, if he's gay, that's fine. Yeah. We're good with that. This is in front of the whole wedding reception.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he made a few more gay jokes about you being gay.
Made a little story about my private area in front of kids.
Yeah.
That was good.
There were children there.
Yeah. And grandparents, too.
Yeah. And then the joke somehow was a guy asked you what time it was.
Yeah.
And here's the punchline, and see if you can make sense of this, Bean. Somehow he wrapped his penis around his wrist, and he looked at it and told them.
It was just a stupid...
I don't even.
It's not even a funny joke.
Yeah, It's not even a joke. I didn't even understand what that meant.
It was me in high school being stupid.
I will say this: looking across the table at your mother and father.
Oh no!
That was hard.
I didn't even see the reactions.
I had a bird's eye view. It was just blank. Just, oh God, make it stop.
Yeah, you know what. In your parents' defense, that was everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it was terrible.
Well, if you guys saw me, I got lower and lower.
You were sinking.
As the speech went on, I wanted to go under the table.
Uh-huh. Did you give him any, like, I don't know, cut signs, you know, the international?
I was in such a good mood, Kevin, I didn't want to, you know, bring it
Bugs
down.
I should have gotten
the hook out.
Yeah.
Muggs, did you have any preview opportunities for the speech, or was it completely all new to you when he started talking?
It was all new. We've had this conversation for weeks leading up to the wedding. I said, look, don't say anything that's going to embarrass me or my family or me in front of my coworkers.
So he wrote down embarrass Muggs.
Yes. I mean, he took the opposite advice.
That is sort of the best man speech where you tell maybe a story or two that's embarrassing.
But it's gentle ribbing.
Yeah,
it's gentle. The point of the best man speech is to say, I've seen this couple come together and form a beautiful union, and I'm happy to be here and toast them.
Yeah,
that's
This was a drunken, incohesive roast.
Yeah.
It was a roast.
And he was white-knuckling that mic. There was no getting it away from him. He would have gone to his grave holding onto that mic.
And at least he picked up a fifth of Jack Daniels right before Stryker called him up and proceeded to pound half of it before the speech. That happened.
Well, look, if that was the only ding on an otherwise perfect evening, Muggs, you got to pat yourself.
Wait a minute. And the fact that
he was the cleanup guy.
All right. So there were two dings.
Two dings.
and your new wife got drilled by some guy later that night. There's that.
I hope so. It was
three
me.
Three dings.
No, it wasn't me.
It'll never be you again. I have a question for you guys.
Yes, Bean.
What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida. What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you? Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
The Sunshine State, America's penis, whatever you want to call it, Florida definitely has the greatest news in the world. I'm sad to say, though, appears like the story that we opened yesterday's show with about the man who married his own granddaughter.
Yeah.
Appears like that may not have been true.
Oh, I still believe it.
I want to believe it. I want it to be true because it's so Florida.
It's very Florida. Yeah.
But apparently it is not true. But these are definitely true, and this is one of the reasons why we love looking at what's up with Florida. His name is James Roy Massengale, which must be a tough way to go through life.
Great. Good.
47 years old. He was arrested, and I guess I'm unfamiliar with this law that they have in Florida where it is against the law to molest manatees.
Those are not words you hear
very often together.
It says a lot about Florida that had to become a law.
Yes. He is in custody under $25,000 bond right now. I love this story so much because of the way he handled himself when police showed up to arrest him. He was making contact with manatees against the law. The police showed up and said, you got to get out of there. You can't do that. And he said, I'm riding it, which is my favorite line in any story.
Now
I'm riding it.
know, Bean. He's talking about riding a manatee.
Yes, he is, which you shouldn't do. I'm not saying do that, but it's hilarious if that's what he said to the police. Oh, no, please don't.
He
no.
was riding a manatee.
No, 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 not right. that way, though. No, it wasn't, that
oh,
wasn't
I'm
like
sorry,
that.
There's another way?
Yes, you ride it like you ride a horse. It's not the it's not sexy time. No!
Yeah. I'm riding it.
He became... He became verbally combative with the police when they arrived. A short time later, the man changed his story, admitted that he did talk to a witness at the scene, but said he wasn't going to stop until someone with a badge told him to. When he was pulled out of the water, he was continuously chanting, "Take me to jail! Take me to jail!" So the guy has got a lot of troubles. And by the way, they also added on in addition to resisting arrest and molesting a manatee that he refused to provide ID or identification.
Molesting a manatee?
Can you believe that's his charge?
It's a charge.
Yeah, it is. Here's a Florida woman facing arson charges after police say she was filmed torching a parked car. 19-year-old Carmen Chambly was seen stoking the flames as she circled the burning sedan in Clearwater late last month. She thought it was her ex-boyfriend's car. It turned out she got that wrong, and it was a guy she had never met named Thomas Jennings.
Oh.
He expressed shock and utter confusion after seeing the footage, telling police, "I have no idea who this is. I've never seen her before in my life." They put it up on Facebook, and somebody else identified the woman, and she found out that she had burned the wrong car. She was charged with second-degree arson and booked into the Pinellas County Jail. That's maybe check on that before you follow through with
your
plan, right?
Yeah, just double-check the license plate, something.
That's all, yeah. Florida Supreme Court has permanently disbarred two Tampa attorneys. This is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. They were involved in a trial against another attorney, and they thought they would set up the other attorney. They knew he was going to be at a Tampa steakhouse, and they sent in a hot lady paralegal to sit next to him at the bar, liquor him up, and then persuade him to drive her car home. He was planning on walking to his own apartment. This hot lady shows up, and she says, "Hey, why don't you take me home?" And the entire thing was a sting operation set up by these two attorneys with a police friend to arrest this attorney for a DUI.
Wow.
That's elaborate, right?
Yeah.
Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did it
these
work?
Attorneys, these attorneys, well, it did work until it was revealed who all the players were involved. And then these guys are in a lot of trouble and have been permanently disbarred. One of the attorneys, by the way, says he's very disappointed by the way things have worked out, but he's moved on and he's actually very happy in his current endeavors running an auto glass business.
What is happening?
Yeah, I'm fine.
He's running an auto glass business now because he was disbarred from being an attorney. But how crazy is that you go after the other attorney with a like a sting operation you'd see on TV?
What did the other attorney do to them to make them do this?
It doesn't say. Very few details available in this article from the Daily Business Review. But that might be worth looking into. Here's Mac Yearwood. He is 42 years old, and he was wanted by the police, charged with violating terms of his probation in a battery case. He got away with it, by the way. They couldn't find him. Months went by until one day he decided to use the wanted poster from the Palm Beach Police Department as his Facebook photo. Yes, he put his own wanted poster on his own Facebook page. A relative left a comment on his Facebook page that said, "I wish you would take it down. You know, the cops use Facebook, too." And sure enough, that's exactly what happened is they searched for him and found him and knew they had the right guy because he was using his own wanted poster. That doesn't seem like this.
Wow.
That's a very Florida way to go, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here's a 75-year-old man named Jerry Childress who has just been arrested. He was in a public men's restroom. Kevin, are you familiar with glory holes?
Yes, because they're the best named thing in history.
They really are.
Glory holes.
He is facing indecent exposure charges after he used a glory hole. You put your, you know, through the bathroom divider wall and you just wait for a response, basically, is what happened. Well, the man in the other stall was not interested. He was just there to use the bathroom. So he followed Mr. Childress after they got out of the restroom so that he could call the police and say, "Look, this guy just put his penis in my bathroom stall. Come down here and arrest him." Jerry Childress had driven his car back to work where he is an organist, no pun intended, at the Faith Evangelical Presbyterian Church.
Oh,
wow.
Dear.
He has been a church organist for the last 10 years. And that's what he's doing when he's not spreading the word of God.
That can't go. That's not going to go over well with the congregation, I don't think, right?
I think he did the right thing.
And finally, Vladimir Putin has been arrested at a Florida supermarket. Police in West Palm Beach say a 48-year-old man who shares the name of the Russian president was arrested at the public supermarket in the city's downtown area on August 21st. He was screaming at employees and refused to leave the store. By the way, gotta be tough going through life with the name Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And this is, first of all, what black dude is named Vladimir? First of all. And second of all, at the time that he got this name, there was no public figure in the world named Vladimir Putin. I mean, it's just a crazy coincidence that he had the same name of a guy who then came on with, you know, later in his life with prominence. But it, I can't imagine
that that was actually an accident of some kind.
What do you mean? He had to have changed it.
There's no, he changed his name to Vladimir Putin.
Nobody's
parents don't just make up two names that happen to be the president of Russia.
There's no, look, there's that guy for in the news last year whose name was Taylor Swift. It's just, it's not a name
well,
that
Taylor
means.
Taylor Swift is
but
common.
Vladimir Putin.
But it's not a name that means anything until a famous person shows up who has that name. So you don't think this guy's, gone through his life named Vladimir Putin.
No. Well, I think he changed it to that.
Well, there's no evidence of that here.
Florida is my evidence.
Well, I think the prosecution rests, sir.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Alternative first.
That's us, right?
Right.
Right. Hey, I don't know how you guys feel about Bruce Springsteen. I effing adore him. He's probably one of my 10 favorite musical acts of all time.
I'm not a huge fan, and I know that sounds odd, but I'm not a huge fan of his.
He's not for everybody. A lot of people don't like his voice.
I did see him in concert once, and it was a great concert, even though I didn't know most of the songs. And I don't know most of his story. I know New Jersey. That's it.
Yeah.
Pretty much out after that.
Then I got great news for you, Kevin, because he has just released a brand new autobiography that he took 9 years to write. It is called Born to Run, and it was a big day for Southern California Springsteen fans because yesterday afternoon, Bruce was making an appearance at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove, and there are people who lined up. How early, Allie, did you see or read about people in line?
I saw a news report Saturday people were lining up.
Wow. For an appearance yesterday. So that means 48 hours in line. For 15 seconds with Bruce Springsteen standing up and getting a photo taken in front of a banner, right?
Yeah, they actually, it wasn't a book signing. He had books that you could purchase there that he had pre-signed, but you basically got to go up. A lot of people hugged him and then took a selfie and then, boop, next person.
And then it's over.
Yeah.
How about that?
But well, the guy's how long has his career been? 40 years or something like that?
Yep.
I mean, so it is pretty rare to be able to meet a guy like that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, not a lot of public opportunities to meet the boss, that's for sure. But he's doing a handful of dates around the country for this book, and we thought we'd catch up with him and find out how the L.A. appearance went yesterday and what's next for Bruce Springsteen as he promotes his book called Born to Run. Hi, Bruce. Welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Kevin Bean. How are you guys?
Doing great. Is it inspiring for you at this point to see so many people camped out just to shake your hand, sir?
Well, inspiring's one word, but strange and kind of confusing is another way to look at it.
Okay.
I mean, I really appreciate, and I always have, the fans and how they've supported me over the years, but still, it's a long time to wait on the sidewalk just to meet a guy from Jersey, you know?
Yeah, you think of yourself as kind of a down-home kind of guy, so it's weird that these people kind of think of you as a god.
Yeah, you know you're going to get a crowd, and that's what you're there for, but you don't expect people to be sleeping on the streets and on sidewalks waiting to get a book.
Right.
It's not that good. I read it.
you wrote it, right?
Yeah, I'm just kidding. That was a joke, Bean.
Good.
It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
All right, so you spent a couple of hours shaking hands and kissing babies and getting your photo taken.
It's also just great being at the Grove. I love the Grove.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, it's one of my favorite places to shop.
What's your favorite store?
Well, you know, when I'm at the Grove, man, I like to walk through that center of town there. It's like a little city, and they've got the beautiful fountains there going off, and it's like a mini Bellagio.
Yeah.
I like to stroll over to the Häagen-Dazs stand and pick up a little ice cream or maybe a Wetzel pretzel.
Right.
And just head on down Main Street there, down past Anthropology.
Wow.
Go in, take a look at the scarves.
All right.
Then, of course, I stop in Crate and Barrel.
Sure. So what? I expected that.
Pick up some plates.
All right.
or some salad tongs.
Right.
Then, of course, I always remember going to the Gap.
The Gap, okay.
Yeah, I need some V-neck T-shirts.
Right.
I like to go upstairs to the men's section and look at the different colors.
You like to tell stories, don't
Mostly
you, Bruce?
Mostly I just buy the black ones.
Right, right, yeah.
Every once in a while, I get an urge for a blue.
Oh, wow. When you're feeling crazy.
But then that urge passes, and I walk on down past the UGG store. See if they got any new boots.
You don't strike me as an Uggs guy either.
Oh, after a show and I've been on my feet for 4 hours.
Right.
Doing a big show, I love to take off the motorcycle boots and slip on a pair of Uggs.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Stick my feet up. Then I'll head on down to American Girl Place.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Look at the little dolls.
Oh, no.
Sometimes I'll look at those dolls and it'll just remind me of when I was a kid. My father and how angry he used to make me, and I'll take my thumbs and I'll push the eyes
of the doll?
The dolls right into their skulls.
Oh, that's awful.
So that they're just looking back at me with giant, empty, gaping holes.
Gross.
Showing how dead they are inside.
Come on. How
empty. How life is pretty much meaningless, and we're all just racing towards the grave to be eaten by maggots.
Wow.
Oh, we were having fun here.
Then I'll go to Sephora and get some new makeup.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
Oh, my God, there's an earthquake.
Not yet, Stryker, but maybe soon we'll talk to a guy from the Los Angeles Times who has written on this topic about the chances of the big one hitting when, Allie?
Today.
Today.
Yay!
So, that's happening. That's a thing.
Well, it's not happening, necessarily. Well,
first of all, it's not happening.
Right. To me, like, and it is happening. I think all the evidence points to this place will be gone by noon. But we'll find out. We'll talk to him because he's done a little bit more research than we have, and perhaps we're incorrect on that. We'll see. First, though, Tuesday morning, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I want to thank Rob Middleholtz, who sent this in. Apparently, Bean has already been sighted down in New Orleans.
Is that right?
Yeah. The story he sent me, it said, someone kept defecating on the front steps of a home in the St. Rock neighborhood of New Orleans.
I would have so much more respect for Bean.
Was it Bean?
Well, okay, let's find out. The woman who lived there set up surveillance cameras to find the pooper. Now cops are searching for a man.
Yes.
Wearing a wig and a dress.
Was it Bean?
Can be seen lifting his dress and doing the dirty deed on the video.
How happy would it make this room if that was the case? Honestly.
Come on. You're joking about that. You would not be happy if you found out.
Are you insane?
If I pooped on a lady's front porch.
Yes, that would be the greatest thing ever.
Let's not forget wearing a dress and a woman's wig.
Like, but they were on to him in Seattle, so he had to get out. Right?
Would never stop smiling.
You think we wouldn't
find that funny?
I would hope that as my friends, you would go,
we're not your friends.
I would have a rictus grin. Forever on my face that nothing would ever remove. I'd be like the Joker.
Bean.
Wouldn't you look at that and go, oh, man, Bean has mental health issues.
We already say that.
We've known that for years.
With no payoff whatsoever.
But I don't have poop on some stranger's doorstep mental health issues.
Are you the poop-a-traitor?
No, I'm not.
Was it Bean?
It was not me.
Oh, man, that would be great.
Wouldn't it?
Yep.
Be the best. No, it isn't. We just get stupid old being without poop.
And a wig.
No wig, no dress. We're just left with this.
Come on, man. Step it up.
Come on, Bean.
Roasted.
Hey, let me give you something. It's not as good as being in a dress and a wig pooping, but it's pretty good. This Saturday, the K-Rock Brewfest at Santa Anita is happening. There's gambling, of course. You can bet on the ponies down there. Gates open at 11 a.m. There's 40 different microbrews will be present. Ton of food trucks. This is a really good time. So if you'd like to go, check it out at the Santa Anita Racetrack this Saturday at 11 a.m. Got to be 21 years of age or older to drink. But I think kids are allowed in the area there. You just won't get the wristbands for the booze.
Right.
If you'd like to go, I've got a four-pack of VIP tickets.
right now to give away to two lucky winners. Call now, 1-800-520-1067.
We got a winner!
First two callers who get through will get a four-pack of VIP tickets. You can get all the details to the event at krock.com. By the way, the K-Rock Street Team will also be there giving away a trip for two to Voodoo Fest in New Orleans. Maybe you can see Bean pooping in
with
a dress.
Your host, and a pooper.
And
the dress pooper.
It's happening Halloween weekend. This Voodoo Fest, by the way, it's really...
Oh, it's so fun.
It's an amazing lineup. Here's who's going to be performing should you get to go to Voodoo Fest if you win the trip. The Weeknd will be there. That's pretty good, right? Cage
yes.
The Elephant, Tool, De Antwoord.
Lady Gaga!
No, she's not playing. Mm. Arcade Fire, Chainsmokers.
Wow, that's good. Good music festival.
Yeah, so many bands. 3-day festival, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Which day are you going, Dean?
I haven't made any specific plans to attend yet.
You're not going to attend. It's happening in your backyard.
Well, I don't go to everything. Yeah, I gotta pick and choose.
By everything, you mean anything?
I have to pick and choose, man. I gotta have one night a month at home.
Plus, I'm busy pooping in my dress and wig.
So is him.
I do too. Tori Spelling, right? Ask Tori Spelling's mom. She'll
sure,
tell you.
Right.
She is not good with money, I get the sense.
Uh-oh. Is she broke again?
Yeah, she's broke again. She's got a big, fat credit card bill, according to American Express. She is way behind. In fact, the court has ordered her to pay up $37,981.97 to American Express.
Oops.
If it's already gotten to the court stage, this has been going on for a while, right?
Yeah, almost 40 grand of back payments that she has not given to American Express. Also, the state of California has hit her and her husband with a $259,000 tax lien.
Wow.
On their home, so they are in financial.
So she's not brilliant enough to not pay taxes like other rich
people.
That's
right. If she was a genius, then she wouldn't pay taxes.
What a loser.
She could show that she had a $1 billion loss. Speaking of things presidential and political, tonight, the big VP debate. You're going to watch the VP debate?
Wow.
Come on, Pence v. Kane.
Yeah.
Right?
That's going to be wild.
Mike Pence, none the richer. So I like to call it.
Look.
And T-Kane.
I know.
T-Kane versus Mike Pence, none the richer.
That sounds a little better.
No.
I know usually we don't care about the vice presidents at all.
Right.
But with Hillary Clinton being months from the grave,
I
feel like we should be paying very close attention to her vice presidential running.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Yeah, you do.
She can barely stand, walk, talk. Come on. She's going down. This guy's going to be running us in a few months.
She's not going down, and no one's going to run us.
Just saying.
How many people watched the presidential debate? Was it 85 million after
about
all was said and done?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many people are going to watch tonight?
Considerably
35.
Less.
Yeah.
Considerably less.
35 people?
Yes, 35 people.
35.
Wait and see.
Wrong.
And how about Oasis getting back together again? How about that?
I would
love that.
Support that.
Which has long been thought not a possibility. But at the London premiere of the Oasis documentary Supersonic on Sunday night, Liam told Sky News that he never even thought the band would actually ever split up.
They fought like cats and dogs.
I know, but I guess he assumed that was just the nature of it and they would just go on. He said if his brother Noel is ready to have another go, he said his bags are packed. That's his quote, and he's ready to happen, ready to put new music together with Oasis. Now, it may not be a great sign that Noel didn't show up to the premiere.
Oh.
And Liam said, when asked why wasn't he there, he said, it's because he's home eating tofu, having a face peel. So they're still not the best of friends.
They completely patched it
They're not exactly chummy, it doesn't seem. So maybe that won't be happening. But the door is open. The door is open.
Which is an improvement over where it was a couple of years ago.
Right.
Where it seemed like neither guy was even willing to consider it.
Exactly.
But Noel has a very successful solo career going, and Liam has done nothing.
Right.
So it doesn't seem like there's a lot of incentive for Noel to do it.
I imagine he would get a lot more money.
Yes.
Yeah,
there's
that.
And he can do both. You can still have your solo career and then get together for a reunion concert or album or tour.
Yeah, I can't imagine the paychecks they would be offered
right.
Kevin, if they would reunite.
Angry Birds, I don't think, is making the same kind of money that Oasis was making on the road.
Right. I agree.
Is it Angry Birds?
Nope.
I don't think
I thought maybe
high
someone would catch me, but
think it's Angry
apparently
birds.
You guys are willing to just let any crap go.
High Flying Birds, but we knew what you meant.
That's fine. Today's celebrity birthdays. Susan Sarandon, 70 years old today. Christoph Waltz celebrates 60. Liev Schreiber. Oh, come on with that Ray Donovan, right?
Yes.
49 years old. Lisa Silverstone is 40 years old. Rachel Lee Cook is 37. Melissa Benoist, your Supergirl, is 28. And Dakota Johnson's 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Now that I hear that, I think you guys are right. I think Oasis needs to get back together. I think
right?
We need more of that, right?
Because okay. You forgot what their songs were?
Comedian and podcaster Greg Fitzsimmons joins us next hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. He's one of our favorites. And the terrific actor Keith Stanfield will be here in the 9 o'clock hour. He plays Darius on Atlanta.
I want to be with you.
Nope. The character's name is Darius. The actor's name is Keith Stanfield.
I want to be with you.
Nothing to do with Hootie. All right, so yesterday Ralph says in the meeting, he says, you guys aren't going to effing believe what I found out about Dave. All right, Ralph?
So it's time for...
The King of Mexico is bullshit.
Yeah, it's BS.
What's going on? What happened?
He is got so many weird little peccadillos, so many weird little oddities about his behavior that I shouldn't be surprised.
Well, there are weird ones that come up every once in a while. He doesn't use his windshield wipers when it's raining.
Right.
And so you just think, okay, that's sort of weird and strange. But
he
when
won't
you
make
start,
a left yes. turn.
No left turn, right.
Smart, yep.
So when you start looking at them all together, he's
like Trump. Genius, wrong, smart.
The King of Mexico.
It just shows how smart I am. I don't make a left turn. Only the best people don't make left turns.
Listen, science proves a left turn thing, so let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Then I found out that he's got seasons and seasons of television programs on his DVR that he hasn't watched yet, that he won't let go of.
He won't delete or watch?
Well, he hasn't watched them yet, and he will not delete them. And I said to him, Dave, what point do you surrender? What point do you give up when you have 36 Vampire Diaries? When you have 36 backed-up Vampire Diaries, maybe it's time for you to face facts that you're not going to watch the Vampire Diaries.
And it's an hour apiece, so, I mean, really, that...
Mm-hmm.
Who's
Kevin,
got that kind of time?
You see?
I feel like... Before you move on, Ralph, at what number do you realize, I guess this show isn't important enough for me to continue to believe that I'm going to watch it?
Six.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
I set my DVR for most shows just for five, and then it just deletes the older ones. And I try to get to them as fast as I can. Mm-hmm. But what do you do with that many?
Well, Kevin, you'll be happy to know that Dave has a new system of watching television, which allows him just to burn through episodes without actually having to watch them.
Are you guys ready for this?
But wait, so what?
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead. What's your question?
My question is...
So he has, for example, he said, I already went through, you know, like 20 Vampire Diaries. And I'm like, well, how did you do that?
So how did you get 20 hours?
Long
right?
Time. Well, no, because this, please enjoy.
All right, guys, here's what I do.
Okay.
And this has to be a show that you don't really care about watching, but you still want to stay up to date.
Okay.
Because
now,
I will watch.
No, that's no category,
yes.
Dave. There's TV shows you're going to watch. Or TV shows you're going to not watch. There's no TV shows. I just want to basically keep up to date with what I'm actually watching.
I invested so much into Vampire Diaries. Once Nina Dobrev left, I kind of like let it go.
Then let it go.
I still want to know what happens.
Why?
So just that's just a weird quirk that I have.
Okay.
But here, so here's what I do. So here's what I do.
So he doesn't watch the whole show to catch up. He doesn't watch the show
I start
it. You fast forward through the commercials.
Nope. I start it and I hear, you know, previously on the Vampire Diaries and it kind of brings you up to date of what happened.
Kind of.
Yeah. Okay. Then I watch the first, 3-4 minutes that before the theme, you know, before the intro.
Okay. Because
it kind of sets up this episode.
Okay.
Then I fast forward to the middle, 30 minutes in.
So you don't watch any of minute 3 to 27?
No.
Nothing?
No. Just skip through that part.
Okay.
So then I'll watch 5 minutes of the middle.
Okay.
And then I'll fast forward to the end, around 52 minutes. And watch the last 5 minutes of the end of the episode.
What are you talking
and then,
about?
Boom! Caught up.
I just want
to imagine watching a TV show that disjointedly.
First of all, you're not watching it.
I'm watching.
Not at all.
You're just not.
All caught up.
Then he says, but I have a general idea of what's happening.
So I know what's
like
going on.
Notes. It's like Cliff Notes television.
I know what's going on.
Where's the enjoyment?
Go to IGN, read the synopsis, read the review.
Don't
want to
do that because I don't want to read.
He can't
Reading's
read.
Dumb.
He can't read.
Oh my God, you're the worst.
Yeah.
All so, the work he puts into going at certain times and watching and trying
like
to stitch
15
together.
15 minutes, you're done with that hour. Boom.
But you're not done with it.
Yeah.
You
just,
haven't watched any of it.
You're
you
done.
Just grazed
you know
what, it.
You know what's going on in the episode. You're clear.
But
boom.
You know the point of television is
just
not
like
to
Morgan
know what's
Wright,
going on
clear.
In an episode. It's to watch,
check, delete,
watch the show.
Done.
That's where the enjoyment comes from.
Well, and I do enjoy it. I enjoy that little 5 minutes. I enjoy everything that they catch me up on. And then I move on.
All right, I'll give you a perfect example. Dave so showed weird. Me a picture of his DVR, and he has 17 Supergirls.
Right.
Yes.
Hasn't watched
I'm
one
gonna,
yet.
Now, that's
watch
coming
those,
back
though.
Next week, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. And I am going to watch those.
Between now and next week, you're going to fast but forward
no,
through.
You're going to watch
week.
A minute in the beginning and 30 seconds.
Okay. Okay. Have you watched a single Supergirl?
Yes, I watched
that's
three.
A great
I watched
show.
Three.
All right,
I think
so you watched three.
Yeah. Like, just for instance, this past weekend, I caught up on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I watched,
and by caught
I think,
up, you mean you watched 3
I watched
minutes per episode.
Previously,
no, I watched
and then
all of
coming
them.
Up next
no,
week.
No. I watched all of them. So, you know, there's these shows that I do want to watch. I just don't have time for them right now because there's other shows I want to watch right now.
Right.
But I will get to them. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm caught up, so I'm on episode one of season two.
Which was 2 weeks ago.
Yes, so I have two
So
months.
You're not caught up.
Yeah. Well,
not caught up at all.
Sort of caught up. But, like, I mean, I could burn through them. So that's what I enjoy. I enjoy binging.
You're so. Not, but you're not
but
binging.
You're not binging.
Is not watching
just,
a minute of a show and then another 2 minutes.
This is just one show that I do not care to binge
for. Binging
I,
is
I
watching
still
stop watching it.
But I still want to know what happens.
Then read it.
I don't want to read.
Have someone read it to you.
No, you read it to me. Pull it up.
Hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
I swear to God, this
you're
is so weird.
Yeah, so I still
so
have
you're
like
fast five. Forward through 17 Supergirls.
I am not going to fast forward.
Before next.
No, I'm going to watch those, but I'm just going to watch them when I want to.
But wait, what?
What don't you understand? This is the only
you
one.
You fast forward to them. That's
no,
what we're talking
no.
about.
This is see, this is what you guys aren't understanding.
Okay.
These shows that I'm going to watch, I will watch them. The ones that I don't want to watch, but I still want to know what's going on, then I'll binge them, which is The Vampire Diaries.
Okay.
That's the only one.
Supergirl
why is that
comes
a category,
back next week,
though?
So you're going to watch all 17 of those before next week?
No, I'll watch them when I get to them. So I'll record the
so
next season as
well.
Season
2 is going
to
be...
They'll just be
right.
on.
Okay.
They'll
great.
Be ready to go.
When you're 57, you'll enjoy Supergirl.
Yeah. Listen, I have plenty of time, you know.
You don't!
So, yeah, I do!
You're fast-forwarding through shows!
That's
you don't
a show I don't want to watch. That's
wait,
the...
shut up! I will punch you in the face! If it's a show you don't
want
to watch,
but I still want to
delete it
off
your DVR.
Listen, Bean will get me. Because, Bean, isn't there a story where you want more information and you want to know how it turns out?
Look, here's what I'm going to say about this.
It sucks!
Right?
The King of Mexico is bullshit.
Why don't you guys understand me, man?
Because there's no such thing as a TV show you don't want to watch
yes,
that you still
is.
Need to know
there's
about.
There's a TV show.
Why do you need to know about it?
Because I invested so much time into it that I do know how it ends, and I know it's ending.
Trust me, they'll tell you.
If
it'll
gets
be
canceled,
available. You'll
if
know.
It gets canceled, then it's completely gone. I erase it. Like, brain dead.
Right.
I just
you haven't invested anything, by the way, Dave. You've just watched
I
a television
time.
Show.
I invested my time.
Yeah, but you're not anymore. You're not investing your time anymore.
Muggs, put Diego on hold, please, so we can talk to him. Thank you. Let's go to Diego, because I think he has the answer. Hi, Diego.
Hey, Dave, I got a really good trick with your DVR. You know, I just discovered it.
Okay.
Oh, what's that? What's that?
Okay, so you should go to your DVR, unplug it,
and
strangle yourself.
Strangle yourself.
And strangle yourself.
It's a good idea.
But then I won't know how The Vampire Diaries ends.
Well, you'll be dead, and that's what
I think
we're saying.
But then I won't know
need.
A show that I no longer care about ends. That's important to me.
You'll be dead, and I think that makes us all happy.
The King of Mexico is bullshit.
All right, no joke, no hyperbole. This conversation we're about to have not only could be one of the last conversations we ever had, but could be the most important thing you hear all day. Hit it, Steve.
With me, people, into a needless frenzy. With me, people, into a needless frenzy. Hide your kids, hide your wife, because you're all going to die. With me, people, into a needless frenzy. You're all going to die now.
Ron Lynn is on the phone. He is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for the Los Angeles Times who wrote an article yesterday essentially saying we'll all be dead by the end of today. If I read it correctly, Ron, the earthquake, the big one that we feared our whole lives is happening today, and that's guaranteed, right?
Not quite.
Oh, no?
No. What happened was that there was a big swarm of earthquakes last week at just south of the end of the San Andreas, and seismologists are all worried about that, but because it increased our chance of a big one from 1 in 6,000 to as high as 1 in 3,000 to as much as 1 in 100. So they're still slim.
Wait. There's very different numbers there. 1 in 6,000 to 1 in 10. Which is it?
So, I mean, as much as 1 in 100 just after the earthquake last week, after the swarm of earthquakes last week, but we're still, it's still a pretty slim shot that there's going to be a big one. Now, in the range of earthquake science, it was a pretty, you know, big increase from the background rate, but it's still pretty slim odds that it's going to happen, you know, this week.
How much data is there on the success in predicting earthquakes after these mini swarms that happen? A bunch of little earthquakes, how often does that lead to a very big earthquake?
You know, it really depends. It's still, you know, I would say I'm careful not to get you guys wrong numbers, but, you know, some of the time you'll get a big one after a moderate earthquake, like a magnitude 4. Some of the times it'll be a complete surprise.
And San Bernardino shut down their city hall because of this through today, right?
That's right.
How come?
Isn't that a bit extreme?
Well,
no, because we're all going to die today.
Why did they make that decision, Ron, if it's such an outside chance of it happening?
Sure. Well, San Bernardino City Hall is a pretty special case. They were, even before the earthquake storm was going to happen, they were going to move out of their city hall anyway in the next couple of months because that city hall is really seismically vulnerable.
So, okay. You know, so it's falling down on its own, basically, without
tomorrow,
much help.
Tomorrow it'll reopen again. What's happening?
So how was it? Look, I know earthquake science is extremely difficult to pin down to specifics, but
sure.
How was the warning for a week after that? Why not 2 weeks? Why not a month? Why not a year? How was that such a small amount of time determined?
Yeah, I mean, I think the issue is that the risk is highest right after the swarm. So after you get like several magnitude fours, you know, out there, it's kind of a thing. I think it's the way probabilities kind of work out there. But the risk is highest in the first several days after the swarm. And
gotcha. I'm sorry. Ron Lynn is on the phone from the Los Angeles Times. We're talking about the earthquake that will kill us all later today. Go ahead, Kevin.
When you write, unusual earthquake warning prompts action and anxiety in Southern California, I imagine you get a tremendous amount of anxiety. People who think about this and are scared of this every single day. Yeah. Allie McKay. Yes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got a little, you know, anxious about it, too. And, you know, the key, though, is just, you know, we really have to go around our houses and, like, figure out, like, you know, it's not just about putting together a kit. You know, are your bookshelves bolted to the walls? Do you have kitchen latches?
I have to do all that by today?
I'm sorry?
Yes, you have to do all that when you go home today, Kevin. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you do.
Because the only time you're going to do any of this is when you're freaked out, right?
Yeah, true. No, that's true because because earthquakes happen so infrequently of any size that it's easy to just pretend it doesn't exist.
Absolutely.
And then it's not going to happen. But here's the question I had for you, Mr. Lynn, and it was the most telling sentence in your piece Monday in LATimes.com. The San Andreas Fault southernmost stretch has not ruptured since about 1680, more than 330 years ago, scientists estimate. And a big earthquake happens on average in this area every 150 or 200 years. So we are seriously overdue. If history is going to continue to repeat itself on that fault line, we are many, 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 many decades overdue from when it already should have happened, right?
Is that adding to the conversation or no?
It's not. It's not really helping.
No. I mean, that's the scary thing about it. Like, we haven't had a big earthquake like a 7.8 in Southern California since people were in Southern California, right? I mean, we haven't seen what it's like when the earthquake is rumbling so large that trees start, you know, falling over.
Right.
I mean, so, yeah.
So, yeah, what?
So, today?
I mean, what are we saying? When does this extreme warning, this unusual warning end? Is it today?
Well, basically, yeah. I mean, the way the warning happened last week is that it ends as of Tuesday morning.
But, so right, what, is it over right now?
So, no, well, like around Tuesday, around 10. But
are you making this up, Ron?
Around 10. Do you work for the L.A. Times? Do you even subscribe to the L.A. Times?
Is your name Ron?
Well, the warning went up around Tuesday at 10, and it was for, like, the rest of the week. I mean, the good news is that it's really getting quiet down there. But remember, though, I mean, there can be a big earthquake that happens at any time. I mean, that's how I go about my life.
Well, let them in.
He was just wrapping up. Give him a minute.
Yeah.
Come on. That's how he lives his life. All right. You can
A little extreme. You can follow Ron.
Okay.
Thank you, Kevin. Got it.
You can follow how he lives Ron his life
on Twitter at Ron Lynn and LA Times and LATimes.com. Well, please keep us posted if you see, you know, anything extreme happening. You know, hit a brother up. All right, Ron?
Okay.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right.
Look, I don't expect you to feel sorry for me. Being a beautiful person and all. It's tough, though, sometimes because you have to mix with the gen pop. You know, you have to go out and hang out with the normals, with the regular, with the, if I can say, the ugly people.
Right.
And that's why I'm glad that this new beautiful LA club for just beautiful people is opening up, because now I got a place I can go where I can be comfortable by my own people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I guess I can see what you're saying.
Yeah. That's why it's nice. Well, here's
it's a
news report.
Okay.
Young love can be found almost anywhere, but young beautiful love is something else altogether.
Right?
After all, love should be segregated and judged by looks. Nobody knows this better than people in LA and members of the dating website beautifulpeople.com. Now it has taken things one step further. The managing director of the website, Greg Hodge, said their members are, quote, fed up of going out to expensive bars hoping to meet similarly beautiful people, only to spend the night wishing that the lighting was lower. So to make sure only beautiful people will see beautiful people, the website is opening its own flagship bar. Members of the site will have automatic entrance because they have been pre-screened for looks. However, if you are not a member, you can still get in for drinks if the on-site beauty police deem you up to their standards.
Okay, so I get to go in to this bar because I'm a member.
Obviously.
But, Allie, if you just wanted to show up, you would be reviewed, I guess, by a team that would determine whether you were worthy.
And if I wasn't, I would head home. If I was, I could go in for a cocktail and stare at all of you.
Exactly. Okay. So this, I think this is I think it's a fantastic idea.
Of course.
Mr. Hodge was not available, but we do have, as I understand it, we do have the bouncer for the Beautiful People nightclub on the phone. Let's say hello to Brick Rockhart, who joins us on KROQ. Hello, Mr. Rockhart.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
We're good. How are you?
Hey, by the way, I'm not a bouncer, okay? Chief of the Beauty Police.
Oh, okay. I apologize. I'm sorry.
You call me Chief Brick.
Hey, Chief Brick.
All right. So this puts you in a difficult spot, then. If you're the gatekeeper for the club, you have to decide.
Why is that difficult?
Because on the spot, you have to determine whether somebody is worthwhile just based on a one-second impression of their looks.
Easiest thing in the world, bro.
Really?
I look and I go, hot, not, boom, in, out, go!
So you don't feel bad for turning people away?
Why would I? I feel bad they're ugly, don't get me wrong. I feel bad they spent their entire lives being flabby, out of shape, hideous, misshapen, trolls. But I don't feel bad about not keeping the club, because that's my job. I'm Chief Brick!
You are Chief Brick, okay. So, what's the put a number value on it. Like, do you have to be an
100!
No, but do you have to be an 8 to get into the club, or a 9? Or
100!
There's no such thing as 100 on a scale of 1 to 10, though, Brick.
Not to you, ugly face, but there are to us, the beautiful people. The beautiful people. The beautiful people. The beautiful people.
All right, so it's all 100s there in the club.
That's right, 100s. If you're a 70, you're going home!
All right, but what if you're like a 95 and it's happy hour?
95, we put you in a separate room, okay?
A separate room.
We got the 100 room, and then in the separate room, it's like a separate club. It's like a lesser club.
Okay.
So you can work your way into the main club. The lesser club, instead of a dance floor, they've got like a cool sculpting center. So you go out there, and you know, we'll cool sculpt some of the fat off your love handles, your ass, or your chin, or whatever you need to get into the 100 club. Wow. And then, you know, you can go to a cocktail, you can get a Botox on the rocks. You've got, like, a hideous face that needs to be tightened because you're hideous. And then you can order up a drink, you know, get, like, a gin and kale or something. Because you're probably fat if you're ugly! 100!
So, Breck, do you ever run into a circumstance where somebody is hot enough to get into the club, but then, God forbid, they age another 6 months and now they're past the line?
I've thrown people out because they've aged in the club while they're dancing. Get out, old ugly people!
Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Right before that, you heard Goldfinger.
Goldfinger?
No.
A NATO song, 99 Left Balloons, but you heard the American.
I remember that.
99 Red Balloons. Yeah. And speaking of NATO, she's going to be playing October 2nd at the Regent.
Oh, we just missed it. We just missed it two days ago.
You've heard everywhere in supermarkets, on elevators.
I've heard
it first on the Rodney on the Rock show.
Oh, you played it first?
And it became very big after that. Yes. It's been on many documentaries.
30 years ago.
So you will actually see her October 2nd.
It's 2 days ago,
Regent
Rodney.
Theater in downtown. That's NATO. 99 Left Balloons. And here are the Monkees.
Oh, good, okay. The Monkees.
Thank you, Rodney. What if you went to see NATO and she didn't perform?
I have had so much of that, I don't want to do it anymore.
That would be the
best. I'm not performing that anymore.
I only want to do my new
songs.
Things.
Only the new albums. I hope you all pick them up.
All right. Thank you, Roddy. It's 7:54 Tuesday morning. Our friend Greg Fitzsimmons joins us in studio coming up next hour. First O-Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Rob.
Brad Pitt not doing well, apparently, since Angelina Jolie slapped him with those divorce papers last month. According to sources, he's a mess. Totally crushed. Word is he can't believe his life has come to this. His family's falling apart, and he says he loves his 6 children more than anything, and I feel sad.
Yeah, I do too.
That's rough. As a father myself, I can't believe being faced with being away from your kids. You know, no matter whatever the custody arrangement that they eventually work out. And she wants total physical custody with him just having visitations. I can't imagine what it's like to have to go from being a full-time parent to being someone who gets to visit with your kids once in a while. So it's difficult. So,
but some of the pain will lessen when he starts hanging out at the beauty bar.
That's true. He could probably pull a couple shifts there. He could probably bartend.
I think so. He'd be all right.
Some extra money. Speaking of beautiful people, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner.
Yes.
Rumor has it they might reconcile. Can you
believe
that?
Yay.
What yay? Why are you yaying? You don't know them.
I like them together. I do. I like them together.
However, Jennifer apparently is having fun toying with the paparazzi. She was leaving a gym last week here in Los Angeles and told waiting photographers, "Oh, Brad Pitt and I are dating," when asked about her and Ben. See what she did there? And then she laughed all her way to her Range Rover and drove off. So she's effing with people.
All right.
Which I like. Kevin, I know you, like I, are a huge fan of Sherlock.
Love. The British one?
Yeah.
Yes,
I do too. I love that.
I'm not talking to you.
Okay, sorry.
So good.
Can I love it too?
No! No! No!
But I've seen every episode and
no,
I really...
No, you haven't.
I have.
You watch the beginning and then you fast forward a little bit, you watch a little bit in the middle.
We heard
and
your plan. Like,
that's Dave.
That was Dave. Yeah. All right, what's going on with Sherlock?
What's going on with Sherlock?
There you go. They're questioning whether Benedict Cumberbatch will be back for a 5th season of the show. He was supposed to be.
And by the way, their seasons are like 2 episodes.
No, they're not.
They are.
6 to 8 episodes a season. It's not 2 or 3.
It's 2 or 3.
It's not 2 or 3.
It is. Kevin is correct on
this. It is.
It's like 3.
They're
it's
an
like
hour
3.
And a half long each, but there's like 3
well,
of them.
Well, that's what I mean. It's.
But it's 1 episode is an hour and a half.
That's like a feature film length episode. It breaks down, on the average, to about 6 episodes, 6 hours of television.
All right.
Now I'm talking to Bean. I'm
6
to
and 1 half
anymore.
A dozen the other.
Anyway, it looks like maybe not, that he will not be back for a 5th season as Sherlock. He was asked by the British edition of GQ magazine whether another season is in the offing, and he said, it might be the end of an era. It feels like the end of an era, to be honest. We never say never on the show. I'd love to keep revisiting. I stand by that. But in the immediate future, we all have things that we want to crack on with.
He's now, so great at that role.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Now, Sherlock season 4 doesn't even start until next year, but enjoy it. I'm just saying, as you're watching it, because that may be it.
He's excellent in everything, but I think I enjoy him in that show more than anything else.
That's good, because we were all wondering, what do you enjoy him most in?
Just saying.
We were just having that conversation earlier. We're like, I wonder what Bean enjoys Benedict Cumberbatch most in. No.
And that Amanda Abington is my number one TV crush, too. So I love
that's
her.
That's also what we were talking about. Remember, Kevin?
Yeah.
Remember I saw you in the hallway and I said, do you ever wonder what sometimes Bean's number one all-time TV crush is?
It's crazy that he just said that
so
right
glad
out of the blue.
We got the information.
Right after we were talking about
now
it.
Now I no longer have to wonder. Doctor Strange, bitches. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, what does that mean?
It means Benedict Cumberbatch is Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Bitches. Whatever with Sherlock Holmes. Eye of Agamotto.
I don't like it.
Right?
Right, Rodney?
Astral projection. Job Royal!
I don't know what's happening.
It's Doctor Strange stuff, man. You wouldn't
right.
You wouldn't understand.
He shoots fire.
Does not shoot fire.
Well, but
he is the Sorcerer Supreme.
With fire. Sorcery. Fire.
Sorcery does not equal fire. Stop saying them like they're the same thing.
Sorcery, fire. Fire, sorcery.
Today's celebrity birthday, Susan Sarandon, 70 years old today. Christoph Waltz, he's 60. That's pretty good for 60.
Oscar winner.
Liev Schreiber's 49 years old today.
Emmy nominee.
Alicia Silverstone is 40 years
old. She was in Clueless.
Rachel Lee Cook is 37. Melissa Benoist.
She's Supergirl.
She is Supergirl. You're right, Allie. 28 years old today.
I love Supergirl.
She's my favorite woman who wears a cape. And Dakota Johnson from 60 Degrees of Separation, right?
Mm.
50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, I knew it was something like that. She's 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The phone lines are open at 1-800-520-1067. If you would like to be a part of Kevin and Bean's What's Good?
Oh, I hope we have a guy who calls today who's making a living selling lizards.
Me too. That was fascinating.
That was a lot
radio.
Of fun yesterday.
More lizard egg talk. Freaking lizard eggs.
Look,
but here's tell me more about them. Are they like the ones that bit Sharon Stone's husband's foot?
Here's the point.
You go right to hell.
Right, but the reason we do What's Good, the reason we open up the phone
is to talk about lizard eggs?
No, it's to find out interesting things that are going on in listeners' lives that we ordinarily wouldn't come across.
The problem here is our definition of interesting is very different.
Yes, you need to expand your horizons,
right,
man.
That's what I meant.
So if you've got comments, you've got questions, you've got complaints, we want to hear from you on
any
topic.
I got to go to the phone. I'll be right back.
You got news. Tell us what's going on. Tell us what we're missing. Tell us what's important to you. 1-800-520-1067. You can be part of the show. Kevin Beans, What's Good? Coming up next right after this on K-Rock.
Greg Fitzsimmons joins us in studio coming up in about 15 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. First, we have time for your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. This one's called What's Good? Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do it this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up. So we can be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
Alex is in Downey to get us started on line 4 here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. He has a great question. I don't know that we'll be able to answer it, but it's a great question.
Hey, Alex.
How's it going, Kevin and Bean?
Good. What's good with you?
So apparently all these clowns with knives going on over, like, in the East Coast. I'm over here in SoCal, but I haven't seen any clowns, you know, sightings in my city or in my state, but, like, over at Penn State University.
It's bizarre. It's all sort of all over the East Coast and Philadelphia
and throughout America. There have been Central California has had their share of clowns as well. It's spreading.
Now, has anyone been injured from a clown yet, or is this just all weirdness?
From my knowledge, no one has, you know, been.
As long as no one's been hurt, I love this. I do. I love the fact that there are clowns that are sometimes in the woods and sometimes not, and nobody can figure it out.
I read this morning that a school in Connecticut actually is taking some precautions because clowns were posting on a Facebook account like, hey, we know where the kids are. Like, a little bizarre. So some people might be taking it a bit far now, but...
But here's the question I have for you guys. Did one guy do a clown thing and then it made the news and now everybody else is copycats all over the country?
Yeah, people like are looking Carolina. At it
and going, oh, that's a way to get attention is I'll dress up as a clown and just, you know, walk down the street.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, and I don't think it's murder. I don't think it's murder either. But it is fascinating to watch it unfold, and we thank you for the call for that. Thank you.
I love that story.
All right, let's try. How about line five, please? Let's go to Justin. He's in Echo Park. Wow.
Oh, man. My God.
Man. Justin in Echo Park.
Justin, Justin,
shut up.
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, so Westworld, did you see the premiere of that? It's a freaking amazing show on HBO.
I heard a lot about it, and I didn't see the premiere yet. Bean, you did?
I saw it, and it is a fascinating concept that I am intrigued enough to watch more to see how it develops. Allie? Why did you like it so much? Tell people why you liked it.
Well, I mean, first of all, it's not an original, it's a remake, but they did it so well, like, every episode, well, I mean, there's only been one episode, but the first episode was like a whole movie in itself. It had a beginning that wrapped up in the end. It was beautiful. I mean, it's got Ed Harris. It's got Anthony Hopkins, Evan Rachel Wood. You guys got to love
it. Wow. Yeah, great cast. We have to love it?
Yes. He said we have to.
Huh. All right.
Mm-hmm. Allie, have you watched it?
I actually recorded it on Sunday night.
You're going to fast forward through it?
Well, no. I went home yesterday and was real excited to watch it. Didn't record, so I thought, is that a sign? Like, don't get sucked in.
Well, Justin is saying,
saying I have to watch it, so I will.
Love it and love
I will on demand it. I will for you.
Okay,
Justin.
Thank you, Justin.
By the way, just to bring the whole conversation full circle, Evan Rachel Wood, who is the star of Westworld on HBO, was the opening act for Nina in her concert a couple of nights ago. The 99 Love Balloons lady.
That is
how
that
strange
is, full
is that?
Circle.
Right?
Yep.
That felt good to come full circle on that one.
Let's try, while we're talking TV, let's try Rebecca in Riverside, please, line one. Hey, Rebecca.
Hi, how's it going?
You tell us.
Atlanta, FX, so amazing.
How about that show? Best.
You know, we have the gentleman that plays Darius coming on in the 9 o'clock hour.
I did hear that. Yes. Pleasant surprise. I didn't even know about Atlanta. Caught up an on-demand genius show.
So great.
The best.
It's so different from everything else on TV. It's such a unique voice. That's what I love about it is you can tell that it actually comes from the mind of Donald Glover. You know, no one else could have made this show.
Exactly. Did you guys see the Justin Bieber episode?
The best.
The black Justin Bieber episode, you mean.
Yes. Hysterical. I thought it was the white guy behind him, and then I was like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah. And no reference
hired,
to it.
No reference. Yeah, they just hired a black guy to play Justin Bieber.
Yep.
It was so cool.
That's a great show. I think there's been six episodes. How many have there been?
I think that have aired
five.
Four or five.
Okay, so you can catch up pretty quickly.
Yeah, they're 30 minutes.
30 minutes long, yeah.
And Rebecca, please be listening next hour or two when we have Keith Stanfield in. I think you'll have a good time with that.
Yeah, will do.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Appreciate it.
Let's try, how about Ashley, line two, please, Redondo Beach. She's calling to make me aware of something.
Hey, Ashley.
Hi, guys.
Hi, what's good?
I just wanted to call. It's Pink October. Pinktober. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so I just wanted to throw the awareness out there. My mom's a breast cancer survivor, so...
Good
we
for
celebrate
her.
Every October. So just wanted to throw the awareness out there.
Okay, so in addition to watching our favorite football teams wearing pink sneakers, what else are we supposed to do during Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
Well, they do have the walk. We don't ever do the walk because it just falls on weekends that we can't do it, but we donate. I wear little pink. I'm not a big pink person, but I donate money and I donate to charities who will help with Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
I like how you kind of dip your toe into Breast Cancer Awareness. You know what? I don't walk because that's inconvenient, and I don't really care for pink, so I wear the tiniest amount.
It's not convenient.
No, it's just it falls on weekends that can't go for us, and right now my mom is going through other health things that the walk couldn't be done for. She couldn't perform the walk. So.
Understood.
We do donate, though.
Well, you'll be happy to know that our Miss Double December, Mallory, who we love so much, she did the Avon Breast Cancer Walk, too, kind of representing the show.
Yes, I remember her coming into the show and talking about that.
Okay. Well, it's certainly an important cause, certainly something worth being aware of. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ashley.
You want to try one more, or should we get out on that?
Well, I think when we try one more, it always goes south.
Paul is on line six. He's calling us from Thomas Hill, North Carolina. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how's it going?
What's good?
I don't know how I can top the last person.
That's a good point. What's good?
Simply put, he's just one of our very favorite people. Greg Fitzsimmons, ladies and gentlemen, comedian, podcaster, all-around good guy, joins us in studio here on the world-famous Garrick. How are you, Greg?
That is a very nice way to start an interview. Sometimes I'm on the road and I'm in East Bend, Indiana, and there's a couple of DJs and they just are reading the paper and they're not happy that you're there. It's like you've been imposed on them.
Well, Bean usually comes with a backhanded compliment. That's how he usually brings
right.
it up. Like, he's one of our favorite people for a comedian.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's usually how he says it.
But this was completely unvarnished and sincere. I love Greg. In fact, Greg, you saw last week when it was International Podcast Day, I was very clear to mention yours to my followers because I enjoy you so much on your podcast. You're one of the best interviewers in the business.
Cool. What's happening?
That was very cool.
I'm just saying I'm not just saying because he's here. I mean, I sincerely am a fan. So.
I sent it last week, too.
He tweeted it. That's real love. When somebody tweets out about you because, like, you know, you don't want to seem on Twitter like you're promoting too many things or you're, you know, a shill. But it means, like, if he used his shill credit on me.
On someone else, yeah.
That means something.
It's practically love.
Wow. Yes.
That's how I look at it. Now, Greg, you said something as
That's
you sat
our theme
down.
Song.
Practically
that
was a love. A huge surprise to me. You were talking about this. You got this incredible benefit coming up later in the month for the what's it called, the Best Buddies, right?
Best Buddies,
which is a great event. Let me give the details real quick. At the Comedy Store, you won't find a better lineup for $21 anywhere. Joe Rogan, Burt Kreischer, Mark Maron, Norm Macdonald, Ian Edwards, and you all going to be at the Comedy Store that night raising money for Best Buddies. And you mentioned that you've done a lot of stuff with this charity over the years, and one of them that you mentioned was a bike ride. And you don't strike me as a super athletic guy.
There it is.
It only took a few minutes. He was going to get to it. I just interrupted.
Now, you
I
don't strike
surprised.
Me as somebody who cares about others or rides a bicycle. Other than that...
how far is this bike ride you
Well, the bike ride is actually like 100 miles because it's from Boston to Cape Cod. But I didn't do the whole thing.
Okay.
But I did raise a lot of money. So I promoted on my podcast and people pledged and we raised tons of money.
How far did you ride?
I rode about 50 miles.
That's impressive.
For people who haven't ridden 50 miles on a bike, that is a long way.
Yeah, it was from Sandwich down to Hyannis and it was amazing. But
was that your plan or did you just your body just go nope?
No, I trained for it.
You did.
I did. I got on my bike
but
at
I'm
home
saying,
and
did you train for the whole 100?
No.
Oh, no, okay.
You planned
no.
Take it easy.
No, and it was, and I was sore. I pulled a muscle the day before because we play. It's a whole weekend. You go down there, and Tom Brady, who's like super involved with Best Buddies, it's like his life.
Yeah.
And he is?
He's
the best quarterback in the NFL.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I'm not familiar with his work. Yeah. Okay, I'll just assume he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm. So we go out.
It's a bad assumption, first of all.
And we go out the day before, and there's a touch football game at Harvard Stadium.
And is
and
he
Tom
playing?
Brady is the official QB on both sides.
I was going to say, that's BS if he's only on one side.
So we go out, and it's mixed in, and there's Best Buds mixed in. These are the intellectually disabled people. And so we go out, and I can't believe it. He walks in the locker room where we get our little pep talk, and he's like, I'm not gay, but I'm down with Tom Brady. He is beautiful, and he's, like, got this magnetism where, like, you can't – nobody in the room can talk when he's in there. You're just staring at
and
him.
And you can't look away.
I can't look away.
I get it.
And there's other celebrities there. I mean, I certainly could be looking at Greg German, but I don't.
You could, sure.
And so –
it's a choice.
So, I go out on the field, and I go out, and I don't feel good about this, but I deke out – a couple Best Buddies.
Come on.
And I'm open.
Okay. And so you're looking at Brady and you're going, look at me, I'm wide open.
I look over my shoulder and I look in his eyes. And I think he's looking in my eyes.
Right.
And he just pops one right to my chest. And all I'm thinking is, don't drop it. Don't drop. You know when you've got to tell your legs to keep moving one after the other because you're so frozen?
Right.
So my legs, because I have to get, I got to move towards the ball. And it hits my chest and I grab it.
But there's no one around you.
There's a couple more buddies. But I deke them, And then I go down the field, and then I finally get touchdown. And yeah. I really like – it was like one of the most – I was buzzing. It yeah. was the most exciting.
So you had a touchdown catch from Terrific Tom.
Yes.
Did you run back and
jump up in the air and celebrate with him?
No, I just quietly took his hand and I whispered a couple things in his ear. I mean, I went with a different way of football celebration than normal.
All right. And so is Tom Brady a guy at an event like this? I think I know the answer, but he's a guy who doesn't just come for the photo op and then get back in the limo. He's a guy who's out there to give his time and make those kids happy.
Oh, right? No, and the kids they're not kids. They're adults as well as kids. And mm-hmm. it's basically, if people don't know what Best Buddies is, it's an organization that helps intellectually disabled people get jobs, you know, internships, integrate them into regular society, basically getting social skills that you wouldn't normally have if you were just like holed up in a right. in a home.
Was so, Roger Goodell there trying to stop it from happening?
Right. No, he knows them all. He knows all
the
of the
families,
buddies.
He knows everyone.
Yes.
This is his life.
That's amazing.
The Tom Brady Foundation, and then he has Best Buddies. And then a bunch of the different Patriots, Edelman, Amendola, they've all become really involved as well.
How many people can say they've caught a touchdown pass from Tom Brady?
We're looking at one.
Yeah, we sure are.
And then we do that, and then we get up the next morning, and we do the bike ride. And that's awesome. It's a beautiful day. We get down there, and they're like, okay, we're here early. And they grab, like, there's the celebrities. Maria Menounos is a big part of it.
Oh, I love her.
And they go, let's go to the Kennedy compound. And we're like, you know, because it's Anthony Shriver's organization. And so we go off in a van to the Kennedy compound, and
Do they put a black sack over your head so that you so you can't tell where you're going?
Unfortunately, right. The driver is drunk.
They throw you in the trunk?
Yeah.
Yeah, what a weird life you were having that weekend.
So we get to the Kennedy compound, and I'm playing touch football with Kennedy children, like great-grandchildren. I'm playing touch football with them on the field. And then we go inside the house, and I get a tour, just me and a couple friends get a tour inside the compound. Like, they bring me into John F. Kennedy's bedroom, and my friend gets into his bed.
Nope.
Yep.
Yeah.
No.
What do you mean,
no?
Wow.
She said, take a picture. I said, no. Get out of John F. Kennedy's bed.
Have some respect.
Why? I would get in John F. Kennedy's bed.
Well,
why does he still have a bedroom in that house? He's not coming home.
I'm
just saying. At this point, it's time to give up.
I don't think they've still been hoping all this time, Bean.
Because it was on the news. I know what happened.
We need to take a break.
Oh, come on. We're talking to Greg here.
I know. I hear you.
My weekend gets better. The Beach Boys are involved.
What?
Yeah, we'll talk about
it. I'm not sure it gets better at that point. All right, Greg Fitzsimmons is here. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Comedian Greg Fitzsimmons in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. His podcast is Fitz Dog Radio, available on iTunes. And you are on, what, Mondays on Howard 101 on SiriusXM? Is that when your show is, Greg?
Yeah, Mondays at 5 o'clock on the West Coast.
Gotcha. Best Buddies Comedy Benefit is happening at the Comedy Store coming up on Sunday, October the 16th. Greg is going to be performing that night along with the great Norm MacDonald, who is the most recent guest on your podcast, too. Mark Maron, Bert Kreischer, Joe Rogan. It's going to be a great lineup. Ian Edwards. Tickets available now through thecomedystore.com. That show is 21 and up. Hey, do we need to talk about the Beach Boys or can I ask you something else?
So we get to the tent after the Kennedy compound.
Yes.
And the Beach Boys are up there, and they get up on stage and they start to play, and all of the best buddies, the special needs people, get up there and they sing with them, and one of them has sung the national anthem earlier, and they're singing "Help Me, Rhonda."
I would have lost it,
and I begin to mist up slightly, and then I'm dancing to it, and then I bawled like a small baby.
Did you
fall down on the ground in the fetal position when you were bawling? Or while, did you dance and bawl?
Can't you accept that a man can feel an emotion?
Right?
Wait, but when do you cry? You cry about...
Craig.
Kevin only cries over soccer games. That's about it.
Oh, right.
No, I cry about things that are emotional to me, like my kids. That's the kind of stuff I cry about. But when we were off the air, you said the Beach Boys walked out and I cried because I'm a crier. You left out the part about the special needs and everything else.
You
just said they walked out and you cried.
And then you coached me on how to tell a story. And so I made the adjustment.
Okay, my bad.
Was it the greatest weekend of your life, Greg? It sounds like it might have been in the running.
Other than my kids' weekends,
Good one.
I didn't mean that. no, it really was. It was the best weekend of my life. And then we went after that, after the Beach Boys played, then we went back to the Shriver compound where I sat and talked for a half hour to, I think, future President of the United States, Joe Kennedy Jr.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
At this point, in the family.
Yeah,
now.
I was going to say, at this point, could you run for president?
Look
and
at my
is
face.
Is it too late for this November?
I think there's some issues with drug abuse in my past.
Ah. I don't trust anybody that doesn't say that.
Oh, yeah, and I know the Kennedys have dabbled a little bit.
Yeah. and by the way, with the Kennedys.
Aren't we post-drugs being a problem? I mean, President Obama with the pot and everything, people were like, they got over it, you know?
Well, I mean, did Hillary partake? Did that come up?
I don't think that has come up.
I feel like she's a square.
Yeah. I don't know. She was in the kind of feminist movement in the 70s.
Yeah.
Or the 50s.
30s? It's possible. All right, Greg, here's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
I forgot. No.
I should have clapped.
No, I haven't heard the Norm MacDonald episode, but he's one of the most fascinating people in the world to me. Was he great?
I have a question, too, about him.
Yeah, he is great. He is great. And also his audio book. It's a book, but I highly recommend you listen to it because it's him reading his own book. Mm-hmm. And it is insane. It's him. He talks about his friend Adam Egan, who really is his friend, but he sets him up as the stooge in his book.
Right.
And all he does is rail on him the entire time. And I just saw Adam and I was like, what the? He's like, I know. And it's
Is Norm MacDonald crazy is my question.
Or is he crazy like a fox?
I think he's so...
I feel like I asked it well, Bean. I didn't need that addition.
I think it's so... He's so intelligent and such an original.
Uh-huh.
And I think he did have trauma in his childhood. He talks about it in the book. He may very well have been sexually assaulted.
Oh, wow.
And I think that there's a cocktail of dynamics that make him... Unlike
Super
anybody
strange.
I've ever met before. Yeah. But really, he sits around and he reads Russian literature in his off time. People don't know this stuff about him.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like
same.
And he'll tweet. If you follow his Twitter account, he tweets like a women's golf match shot for shot for like 2 hours as a joke.
Do you know it's a joke? That's my point about him.
He's probably got money on it. Yeah, he's a big gambler.
Big gambler, yeah.
Yeah. But he's the highest rated, and I've been doing podcasts. I think I'm on my 600th podcast.
Wow.
He is the highest rated podcast I've ever had.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Really?
No kidding.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Because most people, when asked to name who the best or hottest comedians are right now, Norm MacDonald wouldn't come to very many people's minds. But obviously, there's a great deal of interest out there for what he has to say.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Or were you particularly good?
Did you shine that day?
Nice. I did shine.
Yeah.
You know, as you can tell, I mean, he's not even on the show, and I'm already blowing so much smoke up his ass.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
How's his stand-up these days? Because he's playing your event in a couple of days.
Playing the event? We'll see. There's only one way to find out, and that's to come out to the Comedy Store. But, you know, I think he does theaters. He goes out. He can still go out and do a theater and make a ton of money. You know, that's the problem with having a gambling problem. When you can actually make money,
right.
You can keep gambling.
Yeah.
Well, the last time we had him in studio, I do remember thinking either he's straight crazy or, and in most cases, this is the option, I'm not smart enough to hang with him.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I'm not understanding what's being said.
Right.
Because he's a real stream of consciousness guy sometimes, and you don't know whether he's having a laugh or if that's just how his mind works.
Well, and that's how the book is. It kind of goes from him being in character, almost like, it almost sounds like... Hunter S. Thompson type of the monologue that's streaming. And then there's times where you go like, wow, he just said something really unguarded and sincere.
Interesting.
What am I here promoting?
I'm not sure why.
He's a stupid.
He's at your thing. That's all you
I'm
going to
be
up.
At Flappers in Burbank
all
in
right.
November.
But that's November.
you know,
Flappers.
I really...
is November 17th, by the way. Tickets are out now through flapperscomedy.com. No age restriction, as far as we
Greg
can tell.
Greg is so happy to talk about Norm MacDonald until he turns on himself.
Until he realizes he's been doing it the majority of the time.
What's wrong with you? It's okay.
Nah, it's just he's a comedian's comedian. And I found when I first started doing stand-up, I opened for him in Boston. And he really is the most engaging guy. So, like, you know, we start... we do the shows, and then he goes, hey, I'd like you to write for the show, you know, fax in some jokes, and, you know, we'll give you $50 a joke. Is he Leno, or is he? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
And so,
trying to figure that out.
So I start, so me and my friend Mike Gibbons get together, and every Thursday night we get Chinese, we live in Little Italy, we get Chinese food, uh-huh. and we sit there and we write jokes for like 12 hours. We stay up all night, and then we fax them into the show. Because we've got Norm
McDonald's. Who still uses faxes?
This was back in the day. The story
is like 1993.
Come on, Kevin.
And so we, get in our time machine and we email them the jokes. And so we send them in. We send them in, and then we watch on Saturday night and we think, oh, was that ours? No, that wasn't ours. And it goes on a week, nothing. 2 weeks, nothing. A month, 2 months. I mean, for 4 months. We write
you
jokes.
You stayed up for 12 hours and wrote jokes for
four months? For 4 months every Thursday night
and
we would stay up.
And to your knowledge, he didn't use one of those.
I know he didn't. I mean, we're watching Saturday Night Live.
Maybe
and they're
he
not
never
coming.
Looked at the facts.
Well, so cut to 20 years later, and Mike Gibbons,
this is a long
who
con.
who is a big big TV writer now, he created Tosh.0, he created the Burn with Jeffrey Ross. And so he just... He created a show for Norm called The Sports Show on Comedy Central. And he tells the story to Norm about how he had sent these jokes in and he never used any
for
of them.
4 months.
And he goes, no, you didn't. He goes, I used to read every joke and I knew who they came from. And you never sent us any jokes. We had the wrong number.
For 4 months,
we were faxing it to no one.
Oh, that's amazing.
Or some guy who was like the funniest guy in his office every Friday.
I don't know where this stuff's coming from, but it's great.
I am using it.
Does everybody have personal writers? That's so weird.
That is amazing.
The best.
All right, I'm going to be the bad guy to say that we're out of time.
It happens. It's okay, Bean. It happens.
I know. And it's sad for you, Greg, because you're used to just, you know, being able to go as long as you go. But we got a tight clock we got to keep up.
I'm as always, honored to be on, and it's great to hang with you guys.
Best Buddies Comedy Benefit at the Comedy Store is coming up on October the 16th. Tickets available now through thecomedystore.com with a great all-star lineup, including our friends Joe Rogan and Marc Maron. And don't forget, you can see Greg at Flappers Comedy Club November 17th at flapperscomedy.com. And the podcast is available on iTunes called FitzDog Radio. See you next time, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Kevin.
What are you doing? It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
You had to know that song was going to end. Don't eat.
It ended too soon. What do you mean, don't eat? It's National Taco Day. What's wrong with you?
Hey, congratulations. Speaking of the offspring, to Lorena Mercado from North Hills. She'll be seeing Sublime with Rome and the offspring at the Irvine Meadows. Got more tickets you can win coming up, so keep on listening, won't you? And actor Keith Stanfield from TV's Atlanta on FX joins us right after the top of the hour. First, here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
First, Kevin says, there's National Taco Day. And then someone runs out and gets tacos. This morning, I announced it was National Vodka Day.
I agree. You can't use that language.
You
can't say that word.
I just did, because that's what it demanded.
I mean, it felt right.
I don't say what I want to say. I say what I have to say.
It felt right. It's just we couldn't let it on the air.
Well, why is that?
Yeah, you can't say the F word on the air.
What is that?
What's happening?
Are you playing a beeping sound
just
like,
for beeping?
Like indiscriminate beeping?
Like Ralph is saying something he shouldn't. And
as
then...
we talk over the beep to make it sound ineffectual?
What's happening?
Just saying, we got that if anyone has the urge to the need to swear.
Oh, because that'll cover that. It up the next time I say.
Got that. No, I would never try to time it out for when you were saying it. I'm just saying we have that.
We have it available.
For those occasions.
It won't work, but we have it available.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, good.
That's what I shoot for. Great. That's my goal.
You succeed.
I don't like it.
If you're a big fan of Christopher Walken, you're going to love this. An artist in New York City has paid tribute by installing numerous concrete busts of Christopher Walken throughout a local park.
Huh.
Why?
It is the Socrates Sculpture Park in Queens, New York, and the installation is called Monument to Walken. And as you walk through the park, you'll see randomly scattered concrete busts of Christopher Walken. The bust will remain on display until spring of next year.
That's bullshit.
So if you're in New York this summer, or this winter rather, go by the Socrates Sculpture Park in Queens.
Or don't.
And then go see concrete Christopher Walken. Come on!
You don't get a lot of chances to see something like that.
Right.
Right.
Nor do you need a lot of chances to see something.
There I am. Look at me. Concrete. Cement.
If there was a speaker and you could talk to people as they walked by, that'd I would watch great. That all day long.
Why are you walking past me? Right. Stay. Talk to me. I'm lonely. Bust. Concrete. A&E. A&E's the best, right? They got all the shows about death and freaks and things.
A lot of freak shows on there, yeah.
Yeah. They're putting together a live reality series. Now, a live reality TV show called Live PD, which will show police at work in six different cities by way of dashboard cameras and other high-tech means.
That doesn't sound like the type of show that ought to be live.
Yeah,
seems right. Like there's a lot of downtime on interesting things happening on that dash.
Well, it'll be on delay because of the nature of law enforcement, so you won't get to see the good stuff. Right?
Well, then,
boom!
But so what you get to watch is nothing happening?
Oh, paperwork. I'm sure you'll get that.
That sounds
yeah, I'm
great.
Not sure how it's going to work. Show starts Friday, October 28th, and it's going to be live shots of police people from six different cities doing their very difficult job.
Hmm.
Maybe we should talk to someone from Live PD and see what happens.
I don't like it.
Rodney doesn't like it.
Well, maybe Naina will stop by and give him a balloon. He'll like that more. Concrete! Bust to me! Today's celebrity birthday, Susan Sarandon is 70 years old today. Christoph Waltz turned 60. Liev Schreiber, so good. On Ray Donovan. I can't wait to see The Bleeder, too. I want to see that movie. 49 years old. Alicia Silverstone is 40. Rachel Lee Cook turns 37. Melissa Benoist, TV Supergirl, is 28 years old. And actress Dakota Johnson celebrates 27. Wildly popular actress Dakota Johnson, of course, star of 50 Shades of Grey. Kevin, but you may not know this. Of course, you do know. She's her famous parents, of course, are.
Ron and Blue Benoist.
Not Benoist.
We're talking about Dakota Johnson. Oh, Dakota Johnson, no. From 50 Shades of Grey, Kevin.
And wow.
Her
Don Johnson.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
And his, wow. And her mother?
Who's her mom?
Lily.
Lily Johnson.
Johnson? Right?
Melanie Griffith.
Melanie Griffith. Griffith, right.
Her mom. But I'm looking forward to meeting Blue Benoist. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is very exciting. Our guest in studio has had memorable performances in films like Straight Outta Compton and Selma and Snowden, and now can be seen every Tuesday night as part of the ensemble comedy called Atlanta on the FX Network. Ladies and gentlemen, Lakeith Stanfield has joined us in studio. Hey, Lakeith.
Hello.
How are you, man? Great to see you.
Chilling like a villain, man. How you be?
We saw your hat. I know we just mentioned this to you off the air, but it's been a long time since somebody has come in with a straight-up sailor's cap on, man. That is a I could not pull that off, great. But that is a fantastic look.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And you're not just playing. You actually are. You've captained a boat recently.
I have. Yeah, I have.
Would you say you captained it?
Yeah, I guess you could call it captaining it. I attempted to drive it, and it was really fun. You know,
in Southern California, off the coast here? Or?
Yeah, in Tulum.
Where's Tulum?
Mexico.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds like a dangerous combination. Mexico plus riding a boat.
Yeah, it's even more dangerous.
Was Lakeith driving it?
Yeah, exactly. When I'm driving it, and I think that it's okay to have a beer before I do so.
Ah. Yeah. Well, we're glad you're okay, and we're glad you're here. You know, we've been reading up on you, and what a fascinating story you have. And I'm particularly you're a Southern California guy, right? San Bernardino, that area is where you grew up.
Yeah, San Bernardino is where I was born. I grew up in Victorville, also known as Victimville, in the high desert.
Apple right. Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Spending all your weekends at the Roy Rogers Museum, I'm sure, right? That's how you came up.
I never left.
So the question I had that I was so fascinated with is it sounds like, and I want to make sure I got this timeline correct, it sounds like you got into acting, liked acting, but then left it for years until you went back to it again.
Yeah, that's what they keep saying. I left, but I didn't really leave, man. It's just that acting's hard when you're first getting up off the ground. And I didn't live in L.A. at the time, so I was just trying to figure out my life. Like, I knew I wanted to act, but I didn't really have very many avenues by which to do so. So
you were trying the whole time. It's just that necessarily the work wasn't coming.
Yeah, it wasn't coming like that. And then I didn't have means of transportation because I was hella broke. So I was just trying to get down to L.A. All the time, but it was extremely difficult. So for a long time, I went to try and do, like, other things. You know, I tried to work at AT&T for a little while, started selling marijuana, and through this legal marijuana plant. This dude had this big house.
He's doing air quotes for those of you.
yeah, I'm doing air quotes because it's like it's legal on a state level, but it wasn't really legal on a federal level. But this dude just had this big old house full of plants, and I would just be, you know, helping him raise them up, and it was a whole spiritual, beautiful experience. And then one day I got fired from another job that I had taken in Sacramento. And the day I got fired was the day that Destin, who I did Short Term 12 the original with, had sent me an email saying, well, we're casting for the feature of Short Term 12. So I hustled up some money,
that's
made it down
cool.
to L.A., auditioned for that. When I look up, he was like crying. So I was like,
wow.
Damn, was it that bad? He was like, no. He was like, no, man, you got the role. And that was an opportunity that, you know, is one of the most beautiful things in my life, which is why I'm sitting here right now.
That movie is incredible.
It is great.
And
we just talked about that earlier today. Yeah,
you made me cry throughout the movie, but I can only imagine what the audition was like. But I read something about you where it seems like every major role now has kind of been like, oh, hey, I'm here. You ran into Donald Glover at a party.
Yeah.
You were dancing, and he's like, hey, I'm thinking about you for a role.
Yeah, that was a trip. Yeah, that was a trip because it was just, you know, one of those Hollywood get-togethers, and I'm just on the dance floor having fun, making fun out of that thing in any way you can because that's what you have to do when you go
it's
to
those parties.
It's ridiculous,
yeah.
Make it fun. So I'm just on the dance floor dancing, and then I just, like, hear a voice from over in the corner. He's like, hey, man. I'm just like, yo, what's up, brother? And then I look up, and the light hits his hair, and I'm just like, oh, this is Gambino. What's up, man? He's like, what's up? I just have this this role that I've been thinking about, and I think you'd be good for it. He's like, let me shoot you an email. So he shot me an email, and I did a self-tape. And after I did the self-tape, I had to do an audition for the network. And after I did the network, then we shot the pilot.
Do you feel like this role was made for you? Because you exude some Dariusness.
I think, yeah, Darius is definitely an aspect of me. I definitely have come into the role.
Uh-huh.
I went into the role not knowing, not having a clue what it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think, and I think it was good for Darius because he doesn't have a clue what's going on at any, you know, particular
at any
time.
Point in life, right?
At least, apparently.
Yeah.
He does. I feel like he's so deep.
Yeah.
I do, but, too. I get more Yoda vibe off of him.
Yes!
Yoda?
Yes!
I feel like he's the smartest guy in every room
Absolutely.
He's in. He just doesn't want you to know it.
But what about early in the series when he asked if the guy if he could measure his tree?
Well,
what the hell?
We don't know why.
Because we're not smart enough.
He's crazy high.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth in the gray area. And that's Darius's whole universe is the gray area.
Yeah.
You know?
So when we heard that Donald Glover, who we, you know, obviously loved for all those years on Community, and you mentioned the Childish Gambino, he's a performer and everything, we heard about this mysterious new series he was doing for FX, and they were very tight with the details. They didn't tell us very much. We heard it was kind of music related, and even the promos that they ran leading up to the premiere gave away next to nothing. It was just mood more than anything. So I had no, like a lot of people, I had no idea what to expect when I tuned in for that premiere episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like nothing else on TV, Lakeith. I mean, it's you feel like it's such a unique point of view, and it's like nothing else we've ever seen before. And obviously, I mean, as an actor, that's what you look for, is a role where you're able to do something that hadn't been done a million times, right?
Yeah, I think we were very fortunate, all of us coming together when it finally came out, to see what it had become. Because we really didn't even see it taking the shape that it has taken while we
really?
Were in the midst of doing it.
Did Donald think, was Donald surprised?
I think we all kind of tried to have no expectations and just go into it and just, you know, work from that perspective and not really think too much about it. We didn't really want to contrive the experience. We were just like, let's go in here, let's do this, let's put our best foot forward, and just, you know, kind of like a dance when you get on the dance floor, like how we met. You're just sort of doing what your body wants to do and moving with the music. And I think there was a lot of thinking about it beforehand, but by the time we went into gear, into shooting, everyone was just partying. And then I think it just sort of came together. And that mixture made it to the more balanced version of what you see now, which is sort of a beautiful, chaotic show.
And it's like a fly on the wall with real friends is what it seems like. You know, there's you don't get any impression that anybody is acting or that it's even a TV show. It's like we're watching a documentary sometimes, I feel like.
Yeah, that's Atlanta. It's a really real place, which is in a really surreal place at the same time. And a lot of, you know, crazy elements come together and you find yourself in these really interesting situations there. And I think that's exactly what we have done. And I'm just lucky to be surrounded by a cast that's really great. Brian and Donald, who I just love, and Hero, the director who I get along with, and Zazie, we're all just really, you know, just cool, you know, honest, dope people to be around, and it's just been an organic experience, and you don't always get that, so I'm very fortunate to be a part of that.
And with so many shows now, if they're bringing up issues that are kind of tough to take, it feels like you're getting hit over the head with it, but with Atlanta, it's so subtle, and things are interwoven so much through the show. The show ends, and you're like, oh, whoa. That just happened on that show. Do you see that when you're reading the script? Or are you like, oh, I see what we're doing here?
Yeah, I think we all just sort of made an effort to just be real. And in reality, things don't necessarily, they're not always spoon-fed to you like, oh, this is what you need to feel. This is what you need to get from this experience. Here's the experience. What you take from it is what you take from it. And we hope that you'll ask more questions than get more answers.
I feel like, but that's the goal of everybody, and very few actually hit that mark.
Uh-huh.
But Atlanta is one of those shows where it's fantastic, and you do feel like there's a lot more going on than you even understand, and it's just you hit the ground running.
Yeah, I don't even know what this show's about. I don't even know why I'm in it. I'm just here. Good luck getting something up out of me, because I don't know.
When the show debuted, it had huge numbers for FX, and it was renewed pretty quickly after that first episode, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got a real vote of confidence from the network. Have you noticed a difference? Because you've been in a lot of movies, sometimes in smaller parts, but have you noticed a difference in your own life in terms of recognition as a result of Atlanta being on the air?
Yeah, yeah. There's not very many places I go where somebody's like, hey, Darius. I'm like, what? I got to remember that I played him. I'm like, oh, yeah, what's up, man? Like, say a line for them. Like, did you imagine your tree? Can I imagine your tree? You know? But no, it's really, really nice, and I appreciate all the love, and I'm glad that this character can touch people. I'm glad that I could be a character that can have people ask critical questions sometimes about their self and still entertain them. That's awesome. Like, so I love it and I appreciate it.
Our guest is Lakeith Stanfield from The Kevin and Bean Show here right now. He is an actor in the TV series Atlanta. It airs Tuesday nights at 10 on FX. Can you stick around? Can we take a quick break and come back with more, Lakeith?
Sure, yeah.
Right after this on K-Rock.
I can honestly say that was one of the strangest conversations that has ever been had.
Well, I know Lakeith will not be back. I know that. I know we've burned our bridges with our guest.
Come on.
No. I'm just professing my love for Tillamook, and they're saying the whale is different, and I think they're the same.
Yes, we're having a whale and cheese conversation. Don't ask us to catch up. Lakeith Stanfield in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He plays Darius on TV's Atlanta, which is on the FX network, Tuesday nights at 10 with another new episode tonight, and you can catch up. The other episodes are on demand with a great cast, including Donald Glover, also Brian Terry Henry, who is amazing as Paperboy, by the way.
Paperboy.
I would buy that record. I'll tell you that. I'd buy that.
It's actually really cool. I'd just be bumping it on the random. Like, I really like that song.
Yeah, it's fun.
I also like did you guys see the Justin Bieber episode?
Yes.
Yes.
And at the end, Justin Bieber has a song. And
yes.
It's done by Donald Glover. But I love that song. I'm not still trying to find that. Like, what is that? I don't know. I love it.
Who puts Justin Bieber in a show, but it's black? And he's black and you don't even mention it.
That's the Atlanta universe,
awesome.
Man. That's like,
it's so good.
That's us. Anything could happen. You know what I mean? We might have Trump on there, but it might be, you know, played by DMX. We don't know.
What's your favorite movie that you've shot, the experience that you enjoyed the most?
I just did a movie called War Machine with
Brad Pitt one, right?
Yeah, and Plan B. And that was just a transformative experience because I played a Marine and I had to get into shape. That's all there is to that.
That's the end of my story.
This is not meant to be insulting, but you're pretty skinny.
Yeah.
How do you had to really bulk up?
No, for that role, actually, like, I was buff for like a week. It was the most awesome thing. Like,
you get buff for a week?
Yeah, I was buff for a week. I was like, this is cool, but I'm not going to keep this up, so I'm going to enjoy it now. I took like 55 selfies. I was in the mirror. It was a beautiful thing.
Like, that's the only profile photo you'll use on social media for the rest of your life because that's the best you ever looked.
They don't get that one. That's for me and my personal
I see. Okay.
Tell me about playing Snoop.
Straight out of Compton, yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. I just, you know, I got that role at like 10 p.m. one night.
Did you audition for it, and how many people were there? Do you know any of that?
I auditioned for every role in the movie, like pretty much every black person in America at the time. And it dwindled all the way down to Snoop. And when I got there, there was one dude who looked exactly like Snoop. Like, I looked over and I was like, this dude definitely is going to get this role. Like, I don't even know why I'm in here. And then we did like an improv session with Corey, who plays Dre. And after that, I got called at like 10 p.m. And they were like, you need to be on set at 5 a.m. tomorrow.
And that's the notice you get?
Yeah. And so I was just listening to Snoop YouTube videos and it'd be like trying to get down his all his manners and all that. And then boom, we went. And I thought it would be smart the first day to like, you know, Snoop is always high. So I'm like, you know, maybe I should hit a joint or something.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, but don't ever do that.
So that's a bad idea.
No, because I ended up just playing Darius again.
Oh, that's right.
So your advice, if we're ever cast to play Snoop Dogg in a movie, is don't get high ahead of time.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No.
Was his, you know, he has a very specific way of speaking and rapping, which I imagine would be difficult to imitate because you also have a very specific voice. Was it tough? Yeah, very much so. Was it tough
you
for
haven't
you
heard
to?
My voice
Why
yet?
Are you doing it?
I'll give you my radio voice if it is what you require.
Is this ASMR videos?
A little bit, yeah.
I'm getting uncomfortable.
Yeah, I am too.
It's awkward.
How about the Snowden experience, Lakeith? What was that like?
That was amazing, man. We got to sit down with a bunch of these like crazy hacker dudes who had information and access to all this. Like, there was dudes who worked for the actual NSA who were there on set, like helping us out.
Did you understand most of that?
I didn't understand anything.
The hacking, nothing.
No,
I saw the movie. Awesome. He was like, I don't know what they were talking about.
Seriously, yeah. I mean, there's so much that we don't know.
Yeah, no, there's a lot that we don't know, and it was kind of crazy to see. The scope of just like, wait, let me turn my phone off. They might be tracking me. When Darius says that, it's a little bit more real than people may realize. No, I think we were all kind of paranoid on set the whole time. I know Oliver Stone was, or at least maybe that's just how he always acts, like he's paranoid.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what it's like working for Oliver Stone. I can't get a beat on him.
It was cool. He's crazy and a genius. But he's like, you know, he's just like sporadic and bouncing off the walls. He got the energy like a 25-year-old. So, you know, I'm just like sitting there getting woe out just looking at him run around the set. But it was great, man. It was like I've always wanted to, like, of course, be in the presence of somebody who's been doing it for so long. So that he's just super honest. I remember we did one take where I just didn't feel confident about it because I'm an actor and I have a low self-esteem. And when I got done with the a take, I was just like, how was that? And he was like, what do you mean, how was that? It was horrible. And I was just like, I was like, that's awesome. I kind of respect how like direct he was about
really?
It.
Really?
Like,
you wouldn't have rather had him said, let's do it again?
No.
You like it better?
I like it when you just come out and just be like, this is how it is, and just let me know. And he just came straight.
That way you can fix it.
Yeah. So I appreciate it. And we got somewhere comfortable, so it's dope.
Lakeith, is your career unfolding the way you dreamed it would when you were just a struggling actor living in Victorville thinking about it?
I still feel like I'm dreaming right now, and that's partially because I'm up so early.
Yeah, it's not a good time for you.
But
yeah.
Also because, you just never know. Everything's still constantly revealing itself to me. Like, I never would have known how it would have unfolded. So now I'll just be here and just, like, whatever happens, happens. I don't know. It's a crazy ride, and it's fun, and I'm just glad to be doing it.
Being in the moment, being open for opportunities, I guess that's the way you got to do it as an actor because you just can't tell what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a baby, I like always wanted to be on that little glowy screen when I was, you know, putting the VHSs in and watching Land Before Time. Like, I always wanted to be in that glowing box.
And now you are.
Now I am. And I'm just glad that it's something nice, you know, like this and something cool. And I don't have to be, like, stripping or something like that. You know? Which, shout out to all the strippers. Like, that's a beautiful thing.
Is it all right if I say I agree with you?
Yeah. But,
Well, our listeners know that since the week it debuted, we have been begging them to watch Atlanta because it really is so unique and so wonderful and such a great show. And please check it out on FX Tuesday nights at 10. And now pay particular attention to our new friend. And Lakeith Stanfield, who plays Darius on the show. We'll look for it on the TV. Thank you so much for coming. Hey. We really enjoyed spending time with you.
Thank you for having me.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:38.
Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday. What's up, Ralph Garman?
Ratings are in for some new TV shows. It's tough. It's tough out there, especially for a drama. I was looking at the numbers, for example, Timeless, the new time travel series on NBC.
That was just on last night, right?
Last night,
yes. That makes this news. right after The Voice, which was a pretty good lead-in for that show with 11.6 million
and
viewers.
And now, breaking news, Boone.
The Timeless show dropped to 7.7 million total viewers.
I'm sorry, from what? What did The Voice have?
Look.
11-ish.
Okay. That's quite a drop-off.
Oh, my God. Really?
34%. So that's some concerning news that a reality show does so well and it can't hold the audience for a drama. I guess maybe this audience is just so different. People who want to see Miley Cyrus bray at some wannabe singer don't necessarily want to see the Hindenburg, for example.
Well, you know me, I'm all about the Hindenburg. Sure. So I'm very excited to catch up on that.
For example, Dancing with the Stars, which had 10.6 million viewers last night, then led to Conviction on ABC, which dropped to 5.4 million total viewers.
Oh, no.
So about half of the viewers left Dancing with Stars when Conviction started and did not stick around. So it's hard out there for a pimp, right?
I'm not sure that's what we're saying.
Demi Lovato has done the right thing and started attacking Taylor Swift.
All right. That's uncalled for.
No, it's not. It's appropriate and needed. She is attacking Taylor Swift's predilection to call herself a feminist while not really following the necessarily the belief system of a feminist.
Oh, no, she did not.
Yeah. He said, I think in certain situations, certain people could be doing more if they're going to claim that as part of their brand, she said regarding Taylor Swift. Drop the mic!
Demi Lovato.
I think having a song and a video about tearing Katy Perry down, that's not women's empowerment, Demi Lovato said. Boom. And how about the squad? What about Taylor Swift's squad? That she could squad or the squad. Squad.
Did she say it that way?
Yeah, she did. I don't see anybody in that sort of squad that has a normal body. It's like this false image of what people should look like and what they should be like. It's not real, she said.
Hmm. Taylor has fat friends, too, by the
You're
way.
You're saying Taylor is not real?
Yes.
Huh.
So Demi Lovato gets the Kevin Bean Citizen of the Day Award.
That's correct.
Congratulations. You can pick up your medal here at K-Rock anytime you want, Demi.
I'd like to point out that Lena Dunham is in Taylor's squad, and she's far from got a model body.
Why are you body shaming her?
Yeah, why
I'm
are you
not,
body
I'm
shaming
saying,
her?
Oh,
why
wow.
are you singling her out and pointing to her?
Like that.
How
I'm
very typical of a Taylor Swift follower to do that.
Right?
Right?
You don't like
try
women.
Some women empowerment. Stop
Asshole.
Tearing them down. Asshole.
Nobody even knows what she's talking about.
So good for you, Demi. We love you, and we hate Taylor. That's what we're
Don't
trying to say.
Don't worry about her. She's just an attention seeker.
Cesar Millan has moved away from whispering to dogs into a six-part TV series about conservationists who work to save the world's most critically endangered animals. It's a show called The Messenger. It's a six-part series about conservationists.
Does he do this?
He does. He goes up to black rhinos.
Goes,
and they sit, and then he feeds them out of a bowl. These are people who risk their lives to rescue, rehabilitate, and protect endangered animal species around the world. No word yet on a TV network picking it up, but Caesar himself will be producing it, so that's nice of him, protecting the animals. Should have thought of that before you put that pig in with that dog, right? Remember that? Bit his ear. Oh,
yeah.
Very upsetting to a lot of people. Not me, but I'm sure someone
at all.
Was upset.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthday is Dakota Johnson. Kevin, of course, her parents here are
Don Johnson.
Right.
And Michelle Beadle.
Nope.
I don't know why. Like maybe.
Her name came to mind.
Melanie Griffith.
I was watching Sports Nation last night.
Melanie Griffith.
That's what happened. Sorry.
27 years old today. Melissa Benoist, Supergirl. Her mom, of course, is Blue Benoist, Kevin told
us. Sure, that's what I heard, yeah.
28 years old. Rachel Lee Cook is 37. Alicia Silverstone turns 40. Susan Sarandon, 70 years old today. Liev Schreiber celebrates his 49th birthday. And ultimate movie villain, Christoph Waltz, celebrates his 60th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, comedian Eddie Ift joins us in studio. We're going to talk to Michael Bisping about fighting Dan Henderson in UFC 204, and the ace man, Adam Carolla, joins us as well tomorrow morning.